Security Secretary.
We could easily be attacked.
A new development in a Pennsylvania bank heist.
It stems from a bizarre bomb blast nearly 4 years ago.
The all-star string continues.
The American League has won 10 straight.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. An ominous signal from a top administration official who says he's worried about a summertime terrorist strike here. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer is at the White House.
Nick, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff says the terrorists' intent to attack the U.S. is as strong as it was on 9/10/2001. Chertoff bases the assessment on patterns seen in Europe and elsewhere.
All these things give me a kind of a gut feeling, that I have a specific threat that I have in mind right now, but that we are entering a period of increased vulnerability.
And Chertoff tells the Chicago Tribune editorial board that summertime is appealing to terrorists, but the government is not raising the terror threat level, Nick.
And Peter, you're in new digs this morning?
Right, day one for the renovated White House briefing room and media offices. Nick, I've worked here a long time, and believe me, the place needed a makeover. People watching news conferences and briefings will see a glitzy podium framed by two columns and a flat-screen TV. Behind the scenes, there's improved ventilation and cooler TV lights. Even though workers are still putting the final touches on the place, President Bush will officially open the refurbished briefing room a few minutes from now, Nick.
For the next chapter in the investigation of why eight federal prosecutors were dismissed unfolds before the Senate Judiciary Committee this morning. CBS's Bob Fuss reports from Capitol Hill.
Former White House political director Sarah Taylor is under subpoena, so she will show up, but probably won't answer any questions about the firing of the U.S. attorneys, because President Bush has told her not to. He's claiming executive privilege for Taylor and former White House counsel Harriet Myers, who's scheduled to appear tomorrow. That angers Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Pat Leahy.
This is more stonewalling from a White House that believes it can unilaterally control the other co-equal branches of government.
A conflict that is looking more likely now to end up in court. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
New charges that government policies often dictated by politics. Former Surgeon General Dr. Richard Carmona told a House panel that during his tenure there was repeated meddling in important public health issues like contraception and sex education.
Anything that doesn't fit into the political appointee's ideological, theological, or political agenda is often ignored, marginalized, or simply buried.
The White House responded by saying Carmona had the authority and responsibility to be the leading voice in health care for every American. An administration report to Congress this week is expected to show a lack of progress in Iraq, but the most eagerly awaited assessment is that from top commander General David Petraeus. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod says President Bush will take his cue on the future of his war policy from it.
A military official who spoke with Mr. Bush recently says the president told him, no matter what the final report in September contains, if the top U.S. commander in Iraq recommends the surge should continue, then it will.
A military investigating officer says murder charges against a Marine in connection with a Haditha killing should be thrown out. Lieutenant Colonel Paul Ware says the government's case against Lance Corporal Justin Sharrett in three of the 24 deaths is based on, using his words, an incredible theory. The recommendation's non-binding. 4 years after a bizarre bank robbery by a Pennsylvania pizza delivery man killed by a bomb around his neck, authorities say they will make a major announcement in that case today, live to CBS's Dave Barrett.
It was August 28, 2003, when Brian Wells sat in a parking lot in Erie, Pennsylvania. He just robbed a bank and had been stopped by cops. Wells, a pizza delivery guy, claimed he was forced by others to commit the heist, and they had strapped a bomb to his chest. Police waited for the bomb squad to arrive when the device went off. Now, nearly 4 years later, the U.S. attorney in Pittsburgh could announce indictments. Two people are...
You're listening to AM 760 Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Wells, Nick.
It's four past the hour.
Consolidate high-interest credit card bills into one new low monthly payment. Call the mortgage store, 303-423-7171.
Good morning, I'm John M. with your AM 760 local news update. Talk about strange bedfellows. Colorado's Democratic Senator Ken Salazar and Tennessee Republican Lamar Alexander will be pushing a proposal today in the hallowed halls of Congress that could allow Uncle Sam to start pulling back troops from Iraq by March. That announcement comes as the U.S. Senate begins a contentious debate once again over Iraq. Immigration agents have returned to the Swift and Company meatpacking plant in Greeley in a worksite enforcement operation. Nobody's saying exactly what went down, but ICE officials plan a news conference today to release details. Meanwhile, union officials say agents showed up at three other Swift plants as well. in Texas, Iowa, and Minnesota. And Governor Ritter gets a closer look at the beetle-infested trees posing a wildlife risk in the mountains today. He'll be joining state and federal foresters for a flyover of Kremling, Vail, Breckenridge, and other areas as the state steps up efforts to thin out those bug-killed trees. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm John M. Now here's Gina Michaels with AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Thanks, John, and good morning. Excellent conditions around Denver Metro, free of any wrecks or issues for you right now on the highways, but traffic's already busy. Northbound 25, a little more than usual through the Tech Center. Southbound 25 filling in across Thornton and North Glen, and we're doing fine right now on 225 and I-70. Security wait time at DIA, 5 minutes. Weather outlook today, partly cloudy with isolated afternoon showers and a high of 87. Tonight, some of those storms.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot. Hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
Tell them about the discount, Harry.
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds and keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
Tell them about the discount, Harry.
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Tell them about the discount, Harry.
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Harry.
All right. But now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Good, Harry.
Call now and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer and save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-322-1437 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-322-1437. 1-800-322-1437.
Are you in sales or do you own your own business? If so, I want you to think of a number. Think of the amount of money you'd like to make this year. Do you have it? Okay, so what's stopping you? It's not your drive. It's not your skills. Chances are it's your ability to find new leads. It's not easy. But what if someone had already done the work for you? What if with one phone call you could get your hands on as many new sales leads as you could handle and actually make that number you have in your head? It's not too good to be true. It's Sales Genie, the largest provider of the most up-to-date sales leads mailing lists and business credit reports. And they want to give you 100 sales leads absolutely free. No matter what you're selling or who you're selling to, Sales Genie has the sales leads and mailing list you need. And right now, they'll give you 100 sales leads absolutely free. Call Sales Genie at 1-800-430-8122 and get 100 sales leads for free. Call 1-800-430-8122. 1-800-430-8122.
The following is not a radio commercial. It's a gift from the people of Iceland to you and your heart. You see, Iceland Health is giving away a free bottle of omega-3 fish oil to everyone that requests one because they recognize the very real danger of high cholesterol, heart disease, and stroke. Millions of you have already discovered the powerful benefits of fish oil, but millions of you haven't. Iceland Health omega-3s offer more than just protection for your heart. They have powerful benefits for joints, memory, even your skin. And the omega-3s from Iceland Health offer twice the power of ordinary fish oil. Whether you've tried omega-3s before or this is your first time, call and request your free bottle of Iceland Health omega-3 soft gels. Call 1-800-479-8133. It's our gift to you. Find out how to get your free bottle of Iceland Health omega-3 fish oil by calling 1-800-479-8133. 1-800-479-8133.
Hey, back to the show in just a sec, but before that, have you guys heard about this? There's this computer program that literally has newcomers to the internet earning tens of thousands of dollars. See, this program lets you start selling high-profit products on the internet using sites like eBay, selling stuff like digital cameras and iPod accessories, even plasma TVs. Now, here's the part I think's interesting. You can make all this money selling products that you never have to see or store or pay for. And there's a company that's giving out a CD for free that tells you how to get started with it. The number for the free CD is, it's here. It's 1-800-322-7127. Looks like your computer does the work while you basically collect the money. Seems like an easy way to run a business out of your house. Anyway, to get the free CD, you call Internet Speedway at 1-800-322-7127. 1-800-322-7127.
7127.
You know the drill. Just a pill to get through the flight, or maybe a glass of wine, maybe an antidepressant to help control your anxiety and depression, maybe a nerve pill here and there just to help you cope, maybe a drink at night just to take the edge off, and that second drink, well, who's counting? But nobody knows how much you worry, how stressed out you are, how inadequate you feel. Nobody understands the fear you have, the lack of satisfaction in your life, the loneliness. Well, I understand. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center. I suffered for over 20 years with anxiety, depression, panic, and stress. Maybe you don't have to depend on medication and alcohol. There's a better, long-lasting, healthy way to help yourself. Please, call right now and let me send you a powerful free tape that could change your life.
Call now and we'll send you this wonderful free tape. Call 800-446-3886. 1-800-446-3886. 1-800-446-3886.
Tons of stuff here this morning. I say that every morning, but this morning we're really jam-packed. 7 o'clock. We're going to talk about the state of talk radio. This story and the whole discussion has been going on now for 2-3 weeks. And we're going to have on a guest from the Center for American Progress that has put out a report, and this report caused tons of waves. The structural imbalance of political talk radio. And we're going to talk to Mark Lloyd. He's a senior fellow at the Center and an affiliated professor at the Georgetown Public Policy Institute. And we'll talk to him about this. At 7:30, we're going to talk about, once again, Iraq. I was a little disappointed yesterday morning when I talked about that AP report, about how this draft report that is due out this weekend from the Bush administration talks about how the Iraqi government hasn't made any gains at all on any of the demarcation lines or the goals set out for the Iraqi government. And now, then later on in the day, they changed the story to, and when I say they, the administration started saying, well, they've met a few. And very few have even called yesterday morning. And to me, I'm just... Yeah, 2 calls in an hour about this. And I'm just, you know, I don't want to get on the air every morning and be negative. I don't want to get on the air every morning. And I said this yesterday morning, whine but how frustrated are you that with this out, with everything that's going on, you've still got the same cast of characters with the same rhetoric over and over again about this situation in Iraq? We're going to talk this morning to Brian Katulis. You know him. We've had him on before. He's a senior fellow from the Center for American Progress, and his work examines U.S. national security policy in the Middle East, democratization with a focus on Iraq. He has extensive background in this and lived in the Middle East, and we're going to talk to him about it. Then at 8 o'clock, I got a real treat for you. This guy's book is hysterical. His columns are hysterical. The book contains new essays. We're going to talk to Gustavo Arellano. He's the author of the book Ask a Mexican, and that also appears in Westward every single week. And he's going to come in here, and you can call him and ask him anything you want. Last time we had him on the phone from Orange County, which is where he lives, I did most of the questioning, but this time I'm going to do it, and you can do it too, and that's in the 8 o'clock hour. Boy, there's so much here to talk about, and I don't know how we're going to jam it all in. I may have to do all of it tomorrow, because some of this stuff is really worth holding over and talking about. All right, here's something that bothers me. Now, maybe it doesn't bother you. Maybe I'll get no response off this, but it does bother me. Yesterday, all over the news, and it was the lead story this morning on the CBS News at the top of the hour. Michael Chertoff, yesterday, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, told the editorial board of the Chicago Tribune that he had a gut feeling about a new period of increased risk. He based his assessment on earlier patterns of terrorists in Europe and intelligence he would not disclose. Look, how many times has this administration gone to the well of fear to get people stirred up about the whole terrorist Al-Qaeda, Middle East. I mean, they lump it all together, including Iraq. They keep somehow trying to put the same stuff together. Like, does anybody think it's weird that, or strange or coincidental, that Chertoff tells the Tribune, the Chicago Tribune editorial board, about his gut feeling at the same time that they're debating Iraq in Congress, in the Senate? Now, here's my point. My point is simply this. We know that there are people out there, like Al-Qaeda and others, who don't like us, who are angry at us, who want to do us harm. I think all of us know this. I think all of us know that we have a war going on, even though this administration invokes it when it's convenient for them, and then the rest of the time doesn't really ask anything of us sacrifice-wise except our kids. We all know this is going on. But if the Homeland Security Secretary has some concrete proof or some intelligence information that points to the fact that we're at a higher risk now for a terrorist attack, two things here. One, if we're at a higher risk for a terrorist attack, what is the whole point of Iraq? Because guess what? Here's one of their big talking points. And I've had people who are politically on the other side of the equation use this on me. Well, we're fighting them over there, so we don't have to fight them here. Well, apparently that doesn't work. And here's number two. You ever notice I do this all the time? Here's one, here's two, here's A, here's B, here's C. Look, here's the point. If he knows something, if Michael Chertoff knows something, be an adult and go before the media and say, look, we have evidence. We have some degree of information that they're going to try, that Al-Qaeda and people connected to Al-Qaeda are going to try another terrorist attack. Don't say, I have a gut feeling. That's irresponsible. I mean, how many times do you have a gut feeling about something and it turns out not to be true? But now people are going to be like, oh, he has a gut feeling? Maybe he knows something we don't know. Here goes the fear thing again. And you know something else? Why didn't he have a gut feeling about Katrina? He had no gut feeling about that, did he? Another example, though, of somebody who still keeps his job. Anyway, I don't know if any of this bothers you or if you have any feelings about this at all. But I just feel like Chertoff, look, the government has enough credibility problems as it is. And I would argue that government credibility now is at an all-time low. I mean, it's worse off now than it was under Bill Clinton or George W. Bush's father or Jimmy Carter or Gerald Ford or, even Richard Nixon, I think. So you get up there and say, well, I got a gut feeling. Well, yeah, take your gut feeling to Vegas and play roulette or blackjack or Texas Hold'em. But don't sit there and flash this thing about terrorist attacks around based on a gut feeling. Give us some indication that you have information rather than saying intelligence that I would rather not disclose. I mean, how many times have you and I been suckered by this punch? A ton. All right, anybody want to comment on this? 303-713-7600. I know it's early in the morning. Oh, my God, Jay, it's early in the morning. Why are you on the radio whining? I'm not trying to whine, but, you know, it's early in the morning. I understand that. But move your half moons to the phones at 303-713-713.
The world of international ballet has come to Denver. The National Ballet of Denver features the highest standard of classical ballet training. Study under world-renowned ballet dancers who founded both the company and the academy. Classes are challenging within an encouraging environment for all ages and all levels. Enroll now for the exclusive 6-week summer intensive training beginning June 25th through August 3rd. Summer intensive training is for new students as well as dancers of all ages and all levels. Space is limited. The National Ballet of Denver is located just 4 blocks south of Park Meadows Mall. For more information, go to nationalballetofdenver.org. The National Ballet of Denver, bringing classical ballet to new heights.
Special agent.
Roger that.
Have you decrypted the message?
I don't know why they even encrypted it. It only said was one of the fastest growing auto insurance companies in the U.S.
But that's no secret. Everyone knows that over 500,000 drivers have switched to Esurance and thousands more switch every week.
That's because Esurance is the fast, easy way to get auto insurance. You can get your quote and compare that to other companies' prices instantly at Esurance.com.
And everyone knows that many drivers save hundreds at Esurance.com. They save time, too. You can buy your policy and print your insurance cards instantly online.
That's right. Quote, buy, print. Instantly at Esurance.
Don't forget the fast, friendly service. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
That's why I always say, if you're on the go, you've got to have Esurance.
Well, that's certainly no secret. Thanks for your report, Special Agent.
Over and out.
Start saving on auto insurance at Esurance today. Get your fast, free quote at Esurance.com.
J. Marvin in the morning on AM 760. Progressive Talk.
To my friends Tom and Marv Alshear. Or Spanky Herrera, or Adolf, or Juan, or any of the folks working out there. And tell them, this is what I want. I want to take advantage of the matching down, and let's work this out. Of course, you want to test drive the vehicle, too. And that's all you need to do, and it's not complicated. Now, you can check out the inventory yourself before ever going out there by going to RockiesAutos.com and also pre-qualify for a car loan online, which cuts down on time. Or you can get out there and see it in person, because they're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Rockies Autos, just a great place and great folks to go do business with. Check them out at the corner of 63rd and Federal. That's just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike. Let them take a complicated world and a complicated process and make it simple.
Your attention, please. This is a public auction notice. 200 lender foreclosed and repossessed homes across Colorado must be sold at an unprecedented two-day public auction event. Again, over 200 houses, condos, and multi-unit foreclosed properties have been ordered sold by major financial institutions. Attractive and simple financing is available. These are lender repossessions and must be sold. Visit ushomeauction.com for complete details or call 1-800-311-1160. 64 for your free catalog. All homes are located throughout Colorado and will be auctioned on August 4th and 5th. Buy homes at auction prices. Full details at ushomeauction.com. That's www.ushomeauction.com. You may also call 1-800-311-1164 or just Google home auction.
Auction conducted by Real Estate Disposition Corporation.
The J. Marvin Show on AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Well, all these things give me a kind of a gut feeling that we are in period of, not of a, that I have a specific threat, you know, that I have in mind right now, but that we are entering a period of increased vulnerability.
The Summer of Love. Where was Michael Chertoff when this was going on?
Good sense, ill sense, cripple of mankind. Dead kings, many things I can't define.
Okay, 6:24, 24 minutes after 6, hit the paranoia alarm. Chertoff has a gut feeling. You think this is being responsible, yes or no? 303-713-7600. By the way, this is the Strawberry Alarm Clock. And there's a little interesting story in Rolling Stone about this song. Okay, for those of us that are old enough to remember this when it was out, this was a huge big hit during the Summer of Love. You know, we've been talking about this for the last couple of days, the Summer of Love. Dig this, the guy who's singing the lead on this song, let's have a little bit of his voice here. Okay, he's not a member of the Strawberry Alarm Clock. He's a guy that was at the recording studio, and they said, here, why don't you try the song? And he did, and they made a take out of it, and it went to, like, number one. I don't know if the guy ever went on to do anything else.
Let's hope he signed a contract and got a little bit of the money.
I don't know. I saw the Strawberry Alarm Clock live.
I'm the Wolfman Jack. Rock and roll show, baby.
Yeah, Wolfman Jack. All right. 625, 25 minutes after 6. 303-713-7600. Hi today. 86, Chertoff says he's got a gut feeling. CJ has a response in Broomfield. CJ, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
Yeah, I am. Well, I'm at the point where I don't trust anything that comes out of anybody's mouth who is in this administration. But here's what I immediately thought when I heard that. You know how they've presented all this evidence that really wasn't true?
Right.
And base their actions on that false evidence. So if you say you have a gut feeling based on a bunch of, you know, scattered information, well, how can they dispute that? And then if by chance some terrorist action happens in the country, see, we knew something was going to happen. We had a gut feeling. We were right all along.
You know, doesn't this, though, shoot down their argument about, well, we're over there, so they won't get us over here?
Well, that's a stupid argument anyway, because if we got all of our military or a lot of it over there, why wouldn't they come over here if they had the means to, you know, hey, they're not protected. We'll go over there while they're over here, you know? That argument is so stupid.
All right, would this be the same thing as yelling fire in a crowded theater?
No, I don't think it's that. I think they're setting something up. I think they've got I hope you don't hang up on me like, oh, you're some conspiracy theorist, but I think something's in the works. I think they're going to do something. You know, I hate to say this, but I think they might have ignored some evidence on 9/11.
Was it Roosevelt who let Pearl Harbor happen?
Is that Roosevelt?
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's been theories about that, but
could get into the war.
Yeah, there is evidence that they did ignore that the CIA sent a briefer to Crawford, Texas that summer. And that the administration basically blew it off, and then Condoleezza Rice went in front of the 9/11 Commission and buffaloed them by saying, well, you know, this, Commissioner, this is a historical document about bin Laden determined to attack, and she was full of it right there. I mean, they should have called her on it at that particular time. Some of them tried to. So there is evidence that the administration was asleep at the switch. But
right. So I hope this isn't true, but I wonder if they're trying to set something up.
Well, are they trying to set something up for manipulation? And here's the reason I say this. Because now we've got this critical situation going on with the debate in the Senate, and there are Republicans that are starting to peel off. So when your back's against the wall, CJ, why not whip out the fear card? I mean, play the fear card. They've done it before.
Right, but I don't think the fear card is going to work anymore. I mean... For me, it doesn't work. It's like, you know, they could strike any time whether you instill fear in me or not. You're not protecting me. I don't feel like they're protecting me. They're going to come over here. How many years did it take between the first and second World Trade Center bombing? 8 years? Well, we haven't passed 8 years yet. And, you know, security is raised, so it may take 15 years. They're not protecting me. It's going to happen when it's going to happen. But I think possibly they may be enabling something to happen to change the feeling in the upcoming elections.
Okay, the political dynamics.
Right, right. I think it's about the political dynamics, not about are we going to stay in the war in Iraq, because if something happens over here, it's not going to keep us in the war in Iraq. We're going to be screaming to get our soldiers back. We don't need to have them over there. We need them to have them here, you know?
All right, one last question.
Okay.
When you hear comments like this from Chertoff, when you hear comments from the government about these things, and certainly...
I choked somebody.
All right, well, all right.
That wasn't the answer.
That's not the answer I was looking for. But certainly, you're like the rest of us. I mean, you must feel, yeah, I know there are people out there who are out there and want to do us harm. But do you pay attention, or do you ignore it because you don't trust them?
I probably ignore it because I don't trust them. I mean, I live in the middle of Colorado. How is this going to affect me? What he says. You know, am I going to call my dad who's on the East Coast and say, oh, you need to leave because you're too close to D.C.? You know, how is it affecting me, what he says? It won't affect me until something happens. I'm not going to send my two teenage or, well, actually adult sons now. Join the Army, son, because we need you to protect our country and all the sons should. You know, how is his comment affecting me?
Yeah.
I ignore him. That's my answer.
All right, CJ, thanks. Have a good day.
Okay, you
all
too.
Right, see ya.
Bye.
Yeah, I wonder how many of the rest of you ignore the government. You just ignore it. Because you say to yourself, well, we've been hosed so many times before. What? Who's to say they're not doing it again? And Chertoff saying, I have a gut feeling. Oh, and by the way, there's intelligence that I don't want to disclose. Okay. You think that's responsible, that I have a gut feeling?
It's like that senator from Montana that said that they knew a way that they were going to win the war, but he didn't want to share it with anybody.
Was that Conrad Burns? No.
Yeah,
Was it? Was it Conrad Burns who made that absurd statement during the campaign against Tesla? Or Tester? Or whatever? John Tester? Yeah. Well, they're out to get us. Well, of course they are. But I got feeling. You know something that's really weird? Well, that's not the way to put it. Not really weird. But think about this. How many gut feelings do you have within a given month about something? Sometimes you're right, but many times you're wrong. Of course, I'm sure somebody would come forward and call me and say, well, wait a minute, I've had gut feelings and I'm right every single time. But we all have gut feelings about things. Then it doesn't turn out to be true. And how many times has this gone on? But for a public official that is supposed to hold your security and my security in his hands to say to the editorial board of a major metropolitan newspaper, I sound like the guy from Superman, to say that and then say, well, you know, it's based on a gut fear, but it's based on a gut feeling. Hey, go make a living at the horse track. Or in Vegas. I don't want somebody in that position who has gut feelings. I want somebody in that position who has intelligence and knows what goes on. And I wonder how many of you just say, well, it doesn't matter because I've heard this out of these folks before, and now I just don't believe it. And, of course, I want to go back real quick here before I go to Gina. I want to go back to the Democratic National Convention in Boston, which I was there. And remember that? Up went the fear level, down went the fear level, up went the fear level, down went the fear level. One day you went there to go to the convention, and the security was like, oh, my God. And then the next day it was like, and then it was bad again. Like we were in this big complex, this train station that they had shut off, and that's where they put all the talk radio media. So it was me and like 300 right-wing guys there, and this deal starts circulating through the crowd, this story about they're raising the security level to, they're raising the threat level, and if you're outside the building after 4 o'clock this afternoon, you won't get back in. End result. Do you know who benefited from all that? The Republican Party benefited, George W. Bush benefited from it, and McDonald's benefited from it. How did McDonald's benefit from it? Because there was no freaking place to get anything else to eat, and many of us didn't want to get caught outside the building when we had air shifts to pull, so we stayed inside, and you ended up being locked in all day. And it was bizarre. And did anything happen? No. 6-35-303-713-7600 if you want to comment on Chertoff and his gut feeling. All right, Gina, I will put you on the spot for a second here.
Yes.
You think it's responsible of a public official to say he has a gut feeling about something?
No.
I mean, you got a gut feeling. Go to Vegas.
I think it was unprofessional. I think he's just trying to soft-pedal it, though. I think he obviously knows something, and he's trying not to alarm people.
No, but it has the exact opposite effect.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Gina. We better move the show to the Clear Channel parking garage because something could happen. Right? It's like, let's all get scared again.
Yeah.
It's a nation of fear. Ah, the boogeyman.
Well, I hate to say it, though. Don't you think it's bound to happen at some point?
Yes, I think it is. But I think that the cogent thing to do would be to get on or go before an editorial board or anybody else and say, we have unspecified, or you could even say we have concrete intelligence indicating that this may happen, and this is what you need to do, and this is what we're asking you to do, instead of saying, I have a gut feeling, and I have intelligence that I don't want to disclose. That's too much like the boogeyman is going to get you, and then when you say, well, who's the boogeyman, and where's he coming from, or she, let's not be sexist, the boogeywoman, then you go, well, I don't know, but I just have a feeling it's going to happen. Well, I got a feeling a lot of things are going to happen, but I don't know that they will.
I definitely agree with you on this point, Jay.
I feel like I'm going to get fired, but I'm not so sure that you know, that I'm sure about that. All right, 6:37, we agree on something. God, we need to record this and save it. Okay, traffic. I have a gut feeling traffic is going to be okay today.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Nothing to worry about right now. We're collision-free, just a little heavier traffic southbound 225 as you hit the DTC area right around Yosemite. Usual increase southbound 25 between Thornton Parkway and 84th and westbound I-76 approaching I-25. Weather outlook today, going to get some partly cloudy skies, more of those isolated afternoon showers, high of 87. Right now it's partly cloudy and 59. I'm Gina Michaels, AM760, Progressive Talk.
Pick up peak of the season Driscoll strawberries for just a dollar right now at your neighborhood King Supert.
Is your car going to be in the shop for a few days? Don't be stuck relying on friends to shuttle you all over town. Call Avis. They're conveniently located in your neighborhood. They have low weekly rates. Plus, mention this ad and get a complimentary vehicle upgrade. Go to avis.com or call 800-331-1212. That's 800-331-1212. Use Avis Rent-A-Car and enjoy the ride.
Sunday, July 15th is premiere night on Lifetime at 8, 7 Central. Joining the hit series Army Wives, Marisa Coughlin and Jason Priestley star in the series premiere of Side Order of Life.
Why'd you pick this ring?
Says you're marrying a guy who's ready to get married.
I gotta go.
Then, Lily Taylor stars as a therapist who needs a little therapy of her own in State of Mind, followed by Army Wives, the most watched series in Lifetime's history.
I'm here for whatever you need.
Premiere night begins Sunday, July 15th at 8, 7 Central on Lifetime.
Do you ever have trouble getting yourself in gear?
Well, tomorrow night's Speed has something to get your motor running. It's a whole night made just for guys like you. Three hot shows, kinks all out, fine-tuned, no tuner vision, one incredible channel. Tomorrow night on Speed, it all kicks off with hundreds of cars, thousands of fans, and 10 grand on the line for one lucky winner on the season premiere of Pink's All Out.
Let's go, let's race.
Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Then at 9, how fine can a ride get? Check out the all-new Fine Tune with Tyson Beckford. and at 10 p.m., see what happens when you put hot girls, cool cars, and a whole lot of fun together in No B2 Nutrition.
You guys having fun?
A new season for three hot shows on one adrenaline-filled channel. Premieres tomorrow night starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Only on Speed. Can you handle it?
Closed and repossessed homes across Colorado must be sold at an unprecedented two-day public auction event. Again, over 200 houses, condos, and multi-unit foreclosed properties have been ordered sold by major financial institutions. Attractive and simple financing is available. These are lender repossessions and must be sold. Visit ushomeauction.com for complete details or call 1-800-311-1164 for your free catalog. All homes are located throughout Colorado and will be auctioned on August 4th and 5th. Buy homes at auction prices. Full details at ushomeauction.com. That's www.ushomeauction.com. You may also call 1-800-311-1164 or just Google home auction.
Auction conducted by Real Estate Disposition Corporation.
Forward thinking in the morning. It's the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
After the hour, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Severe thunderstorms, high today 86. We're talking about Michael Chertoff. He has a gut feeling. Well, we all have gut feelings. I don't want people running in this country who have gut feelings. I want them to run on information. Here's Deborah in Fort Collins. Deborah, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
You know, the sky's falling. The sky's falling. I'm like Chicken Little in the children's stories. I'm supposed to respond to him and his gut feeling. Well, you know, they've played that card one too many times, and I think the American people are saying, you know, we've got to live today, and hopefully learn from our ancestors saying, you know, we've developed all this fear itself, and you can't live in fear. Terrorists want you to live in fear. And so what do? You deal with it at a day at a time and in a logical sequence.
Okay, do you think people are really scared? Do you think that they're a little bit alarmed? Or a lot alarmed, or would you answer the same way that CJ answered, which is basically you just ignore it?
I think it's regional. I imagine people in the big cities like New York. You know, I can't speak for the East Coast or the West Coast where they're really high populated and stuff. But, you know, the administration has just used that whole card so many times, and I would hope that the American people have grown up and gotten some insight and said, okay, you know, if there's terrorists, we've got to deal with them, and do we let them win and feel terror all the time, or do we logically take action to prevent stuff from happening and go on with our lives? I mean, I can't imagine living in Israel, and I'm sure the people there, you know, they just don't terrorists or what.
Well, you can't let
years,
yeah.
And they live their lives, and it's just ludicrous to expect us to run around wringing our hands and going, oh, lousy, what are we going to do here? You know, it's, come on, we've got to deal with our lives day by day in a logical sequence and of things, and if people see something suspicious and report it, that for political things, every time somebody's trying to call somebody into account for their actions or to find out what's really going on behind the scenes is just below the belt. I just,
well, sometimes I feel like the terrorists have already won. Reason I say that is because look at the state of the country. We are highly polarized. You've got people here who are fearful. You've got people here who will take this and they'll point to it and go, see, See? It's a dangerous world. I mean, all of this, we're not cohesive. We're not together. We're not united in fighting what should be a common enemy to everybody, regardless of what your political philosophy is. And we've been used so many times that I think people are just like, well, okay. What else is new?
It's because we have no leadership. I mean, there is no leadership. There is a dictatorship, but no leadership that I know of. And, you know, people look at the what happened to the Quaker girls in Denver with, you know, the government marched in and checked them out. You know, they might really be a threat to the United States. I mean, that was several years ago. But am I fearing that something's going to happen? Well, life happens. Something will happen. If not today, if not 10 years from now. But we've got to deal with life today and improve it as much as possible and live our lives to the fullest. And
You know what? I would absolutely, absolutely agree. Michelle, thank you. I'm sorry, Deborah, thank you. Great call.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Now, I was bringing up Michelle. Here's Michelle in Denver. Michelle, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, here's my gut feeling. I wouldn't believe a word that any one of them said. They are just manipulating us. They're traitors, and they're cowards. I want to read one quote to you, if I may.
Sure.
Okay, it's from the New York Times today. It says, on issue after issue, Dr. Carmona said, now Dr. Carmona is...
Oh, he was the former Surgeon General who spoke out yesterday about the Bush administration.
2006, correct. The administration, this is him talking, the administration made decisions about important public health issues based solely on political considerations, not scientific ones. I was told to stay away from those because we've already decided which way we want to go. He described attending a meeting of top officials in which the subject of global warming was discussed. The officials concluded that global warming was a liberal cause and dismissed it, he said. He also said he was never invited back.
Mm.
Okay? You look at every single functionary, every single, look at what's happening with the FDA. Look at what's happening.
Yeah, but you know what the counter-argument to that is? I'm not saying I endorse it, but I'm saying that this is the counter-argument you're going to get. The counter-argument you're going to get is, well, every administration does it. Because C. Everett Koop was there, who was the Surgeon General under Ronald Reagan.
Right.
And the Surgeon General under Bill Clinton was there.
Right.
I can't remember his name. And they said that there's always been political pressure.
Okay,
it's worse now than it's ever been.
Dr. Koop said he had been discouraged by top officials in the Reagan administration from discussing the AIDS crisis. He did so anyway. Period. That's what the New York Times says.
Well, listen. The Washington Post is carrying the same story. I believe it totally. So I connect the dots and I see where you're going, which is to say that this administration. Not that other administrations haven't done it, but it's worse under this one, that they don't do anything unless there's some kind of political advantage to be gained out of it. So what C. Everett Koop told the Chicago Tribune editorial board yesterday about his gut feeling business, so do you have the feeling that he did this because it's politically expedient and because now we're once again debating Iraq?
The only thing that they're good for is manipulating it for their own and their cronies' well-being and making more money. That's the only thing they're motivated by, their own greed. And they don't care who suffers and who dies.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the more suffering and the more death and destruction, the better for them because the stronger their manipulation becomes.
Isn't that sad, though, you feel that way about your own government?
Absolutely. And you know what? If you still support this administration, you have children, I think you're guilty of child abuse. If you are stupid enough...
That's kind of a stretch.
I believe it.
Well, I think you'd have a hard time making that connection.
That's how partisan I am. I believe that people that support this administration are they're my enemy. They're the people.
But see, you know something? That doesn't get... Where does that get you? That doesn't get you anywhere except somebody who might be open to some kind of reason about what you're discussing.
They're not open to reason.
Well, you don't know that, though. Because there are
people... How long have you been talking to your coworker, Gina? How often has she ever changed an opinion?
Well, she ended up agreeing with me 20 minutes ago.
Yeah? What good's that going to do her? Or you?
Well, what do you mean, what good is that going to do me? Do you want people to agree with you, or do you want to alienate them?
No.
I mean, how do you intend to sell your case if you alienate them? And if you can't sell your case, how do you influence votes? How do you make change?
I think they're beyond any point of...
So what? Wait, what? You just give up on them?
No, unfortunately, I don't give up. I talk to people every
day. Okay, but you don't, but you can't alienate them by accusing them of wild things like child abuse and other stuff simply because they don't agree with you, and then get on the air and say, well, okay, they're my enemy. No, we're all Americans. And listen, we all want to get from A to B. The difference is that we have different beliefs on how to get there. And the thing is, we have to work those beliefs out. Are there amoral people involved in this process? Yes. On both sides, yes. But you can't sit there and say that they're your enemy. How do you figure that? The enemy's Al-Qaeda, not them.
Yeah, and exactly what you said, they have won. And if you remember the statement that bin Laden made...
Okay, but you're going off what I just said to you, which is, how can you label somebody who doesn't agree with you as your enemy? That makes you just as guilty of extremism as the people who you loathe. And you don't want to be that way, do you?
Well...
Come on, Michelle. You don't want to be that way, do you?
Okay. They have gone a long way to destroying our way of life.
Well, but they would counter that we have too. And the fact is that there has to be balance in the world. But being extreme doesn't help. Thank you, Michelle. I appreciate the call. Call again. 652 AM 760 Progressive Talk Traffic. Now with Gina.
Thanks, Jay. Looks like we have a crash involving a semi southbound I-25 right near Park Avenue. So that's going to be right smack dab in the middle of your downtown commute. So just be aware of that. You're headed that direction. We're already pretty slow from 58th down to Spear. Southbound I-25, of course, on the north side of I-70, stacking up from 104th to 84th. Weather outlook today, partly cloudy skies. More of those expected with isolated afternoon showers. We're going to get a high of 87 today, and then some of those evening storms possible. 59 for a low tonight, and tomorrow, more of the same, just a little cooler at 81. Right now, it's partly cloudy and 59. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Colorado Irish Festival hosts a U2 tribute concert this Friday, followed by a weekend-long fest celebrating Irish rock and reels with music.
Think about the things that have become obsolete in our lifetime. VCRs have been replaced by TiVos and DVRs. Ataris have been replaced by Xbox and Xbox 360. And your glasses replaced by normal vision. Hi, this is Jay Marvin for Icon LASIK Center. You know, corrective vision is not something far off in the future. It's not a futuristic dream. It's happening now, and Icon's experienced surgeons want to help make your glasses obsolete too. Icon can do it for as little as $4.99 per eye, and Icon LASIK Center has been performing safe and affordable LASIK procedures since 1999. Icon has financing available for all credit types with zero down and no interest for up to 24 months. Plus, Icon also has the newest technology like Intralase, bladeless LASIK. Learn more about all of your options with Icon LASIK Center by calling them 720-524-1001. That's 720-524-1001. Or visit Icon online at icondenver.com. That's I like the letter, C-O-N, denver.com.
This hour of music is brought to you by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
Best way for you to access this program is by calling the mortgage store. They're dedicating $35 million to a bailout fund to help homeowners with adjustable rate mortgages going out of control. Get rid of that adjustable loan and all your other debt and get the security of one new low fixed payment and no payments for up to 90 days. The mortgage store is an Inc. 500 company, and they're a direct lender, and they can close your loan fast. They approve their own loans, so they can say yes even if you've been turned down elsewhere. Discover how much money you could be saving every single month. Now, there's a limited amount of money available, and it's not going to last long, so you got to call now. 303-423-7171. That's 303-423-7171. Here's the number again, 303-423-7171. Call the mortgage store. They're the guaranteed pros.
AM 760 listeners know where they spend their money is just as important as how they vote. That's why your business should be on AM 760's Blue List. Progressive companies all along the Front Range have been showing their support and seeing the results. Companies like Hughes Irrigation, Computer Superheroes, plus Empowerment Coach and Global Sense author Judah Free. Go to AM760.net today. Click on the Blue List and find out how your company can help support Progressive Talk. AM 760.
Mortgage rates are starting to climb, so now is the time to refinance at LendingTree before rates go even higher. Choose from up to four offers today. Call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com for licensing. When banks compete, you win.
Experience the thrill of BCS Big 12 Division I College Football as your team, the CU Buffs, battle past national champions Florida State, Oklahoma, and Nebraska in Buffalo Territory at Folsom Field. Purchase your tickets today by calling 303-49-BUFFS or online at CUBuffs.com.
Live, local, and progressive.
The J. Marvin Show
on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
I've got a feeling deep inside. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. I've got a feeling I can't.
Thunderstorms, high today, 86, AM 760. Progressive Talk, Jay Marvin along with you. We're talking about Michael Chertoff. Coming up after 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about the structural imbalance of political talk radio with Mark Lloyd, who's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and affiliated professor at Georgetown Public Policy Institute. 7:30, we're going to talk about Bush and Iraq. And we're talking about Chertoff. And about his gut feeling business. And I just want to refer back to the last caller, Michelle. And Michelle, I hope you're still listening. But see, to me, that's what you said. This is part of the problem. I'm highly partisan, and they're my enemy. There are people out there who are not good people. They're bad folks. They're bad folks because they're amoral, because they're opportunists, because they are demagogues. They're out there. There's no question. I mean, this David Vitter guy, for instance, is an example. I mean, he's in trouble. And now, you know, people on the right are trying to wash that one away. And he's trying to wash it away by saying, well, listen, I was forgiven by God, which I don't know where he gets that, other than this whole idea that you can be washed from the blood of your sins, I guess, by accepting Jesus, and that his wife let him off the hook. Meanwhile, he's ranting and raving about traditional values and marriage. But my point is, there are those people out there that are like that, but there's also people out there who they just disagree with you and I, and they would disagree with the rest, with a lot of other people. Doesn't make them bad people, doesn't make them your enemy. And somehow we've got to find common ground. And one of the things I think that adds to this discourse of disharmony is talk radio, and we'll talk about that next, coming up.
Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
We're back with Julia Witherspoon, founder of Cops and Kids Reading Centers, as featured on Oprah. She's been teaching kids to read at lightning speed, and she's sharing her secret with us.
It blows my mind how fast these kids are reading. And the thing is, anybody can do this, kids or adults.
Well, don't keep me in suspense. What is this secret?
It's called IQ, and it teaches you to read up to 10 times faster. And what's more amazing, you actually comprehend everything you read.
And am I to understand that anyone can try this for free?
Mm-hmm. You have their phone number right there.
Yep, here it is. Guys, to try this out for free, you got to call 1-800-300-5305.
Every home should have IQ. Every child should have IQ. And every adult.
Get your free demo of IQ right now and discover what Julia already knows. 1-800-300-5305. That's 1-800-300-5305. 1-800-300-5305.
AM
760 in HD.
Hey, Colorado, this is Tom Hartman, and you're listening to AM 760 Progressive Talk, KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. Signs that Al-Qaeda has been regrouping overseas have Homeland Security officials worried about what could happen in this country this summer.
I believe we're entering a period this summer of increased risk.
Secretary Michael Chertoff told the Chicago Tribune editorial board his concern is based in part on a gut feeling. CBS News Chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer says Chertoff may have to do better than that.
No one questions that the terrorism threat is real, obviously, after what Britain has just gone through. But I think the secretary is going to have to tell us more than we know now, or he's going to face a very fierce reaction from Democrats in Congress.
An insider has a date with the Senate Judiciary Committee within the hour, but don't expect any bombshells about the firing of 8 federal prosecutors. Live to CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer. Why not, Peter?
Well, Frank, caught in a legal tug of war between the White House and Congress, former Bush political director Sarah Taylor is still taking orders from her old boss. She tells Congress she'll follow the White House directive against answering questions about her own role in the prosecutor's controversy unless a court orders her to talk. In prepared remarks for a Senate hearing 30 minutes from now, Taylor says she'll respond to questions if the courts rule congressional needs outweigh the president's executive privilege. Live at the White House, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
A Transportation Department hearing at this hour will get into the pros and cons of requiring seatbelts on school buses. Nicole Naso, who heads the Transportation Safety Administration, says it's not a clear-cut issue.
We're looking at lap and shoulder, but we know there's an expense involved with lap and shoulder, and we don't want to do anything that would reduce the number of kids who could ride the bus.
Some states already have school bus seatbelt laws. Don't know what crunk is? Well, now you can look it up. Live to CBS's Vicki Barker. Look it up where, Vicki?
In the new Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, Frank. When the latest edition goes on sale next fall, it'll contain about 100 newly added words. They include Bollywood, speed dating, and Sudoku. And for the first time, the word ginormous, a combination of gigantic and enormous, is in there. The editors say after a ginormous wait, the word was apparently first used in 1948. As for crunk, well, that's a southern form of rap, Frank.
A video that popped up on YouTube caught the attention of the FBI and police in Houston. It shows some young women in a van teasing a toddler who seems to be high on ecstasy. Lieutenant John Martin says that's not their story now.
The girls in the video are claiming that they were on this long driving trip, that they got bored, and that basically this little girl would do whatever you told her to do.
A squid the size of a bus has been found on a beach in Tasmania. Australian reporter Jessica Pelliccioni has the tale of the tape.
It weighs around 550 pounds with a cross-section as big as a truck tire and longer than a station wagon. Now, the main mantle of the squid is about 3 feet across, and it's total length is around 26 feet long.
S&P futures are up a point. This is CBS News.
Do you have a big presentation coming up? Need great-looking documents done right and on time? The Office Depot Design Print and Ship Depot will take care of it. Only at Office Depot will you find Xerox-certified print specialists to make sure your job is done right, guaranteed. Stop by an Office Depot store or visit us online 24/7 to request professionally prepared documents. Xerox-certified print specialists, only at Office Depot, where we guarantee your documents are done right.
Our next life exercise, fanning the ultra-sensitive smoke detector. 4, 3, 2, 1, grab a kitchen towel. Flex arms and hopelessly wave up and down. Grab a broom, thrust and stab. Grab burning pot roast and throw out open window. Wind up and pause. Don't forget to open window.
Life is exercise. Snickers Marathon is energy. Great tasting, nutritious, long-lasting energy for the demands of your day. Grab a Snickers Marathon in the energy bar aisle.
Contact Real Estate Disposition Corporation at ushomeauction.com.
Good morning. I'm John M. with your AM 760 local news update. Immigration agents returned to the Swift & Company meatpacking plant in Greeley yesterday in a worksite enforcement operation that garnered union support. Nobody's talking too much about it. ICE officials planning a news conference today to release details, but union officials say the agents showed up with about 40 arrest warrants at 4 Swift plants, including the one in Greeley, along with plants in Texas, Iowa, and Minnesota. Union officials say the agents did not appear to have used the same level of intimidation and overkill as those raids in December, that resulted in more than 1,200 illegal aliens being arrested at plants in six cities. Progress has been made in fighting that 1,500-acre wildfire near Durango. Now they have full containment.
They're building line, and some crews have started up some mop-up operations.
Aircraft that had been sent to fight those flames now sent to other fires raging across the west. And the former Rocky Flats weapons plant northwest of downtown Denver could become a national wildlife refuge as early as today. Flats officials say the Department of Energy, which oversaw the plant that made plutonium triggers for nuclear weapons, has signed off on the transfer and is awaiting final approval from the Interior Department. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm John M. Now here's Gina Michaels with AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Thanks, John. Well, we do have a crash that's causing some big delays right now through the I-25, I-70 interchange. It's westbound I-70, southbound 25 at the end of that ramp involving a semi. It's really adding to your slowdowns, excuse me, on that westbound side with speeds in the 30s between Quebec and 270. We're stacked up, of course, southbound 25 and eastbound 270 through the Adams County area there on the north end of the city. Security wait time at DIA, 5 minutes. Weather outlook today, partly cloudy with isolated afternoon showers and a high of 87. Currently, partly cloudy and 61. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Make every day special with the $2.79 sub of the day from Subway Restaurants. A different, fresh, regular 6-inch Subway sandwich every day for only $2.79. Go in today for the turkey sandwich. Keep your stomach and your wallet full at Subway Restaurants. Eat fresh.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, 3 buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. 2 little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by SearchDog USA.
This is the Jay Marvin Show. Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 707. 7 minutes after 7, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Severe thunderstorms, high today, 86. Jay Marvin along with you. It's nice to have you here. We've been talking about this for a long time. I was talking about it, Monday, about talk radio and about the fact that it is overwhelmingly, that there's just an imbalance as far as political talk radio goes. And it's a shame for a couple of reasons. It's a shame, number one, because no opposing viewpoints get on the air around the majority of the country. Then the other thing it's a shame is that it's boring. That's the biggest shame of all. Something that used to be a marvelous form of entertainment has become very, very bland. Our guest is Mark Lloyd, a senior fellow at the Center and an affiliated professor at Georgetown Public Policy Institute. That's the Center for... Why am I spacing out? American Progress. Okay. Center for American Progress. And they released a report about talk radio called Talk Radio by the Numbers. And this caused a lot of waves, and we're going to talk to Mark about this. Mark, good morning, and I apologize for my lack of memory. I don't know if that's due to age, early drug use when I was a child, or I don't know. I don't know what that's about.
That's perfectly fine. It must be pretty early in the morning there.
Well, it's only 8 minutes after 7, but I've been up since like 2:30, so I don't have any excuse. And how can I not remember the name Center for American Progress? What's wrong? I only suck up 10,000 million guests a week out of that institution. I don't know. I apologize for that. All right, let's talk about talk radio. I recently got back from a vacation in which my wife Mary and I went to Daytona, Florida, and we drove because we always do like one road trip a year. And I just start going down, up and down the AM band.
Scary.
Looking for stuff to listen to. Here's the thing that scared me the most about it. The thing that scared me the most about it was, as somebody who's been in this business for 32 years plus, it's frickin' boring. It's because it's the same thing every single place. And it used to be that what you could do is you could go to Daytona Beach, Florida. You could go to Kansas City. You could go to any number of towns, Atlanta, any place you can think of, tune in the talk radio station, find out what the issues were and what was going on in that town. Now, It's all syndicated. It's all right wing, and it's right. all boring.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is scary. I mean, I did the same thing with my daughter about a year or so, driving around New England, and it's just amazing. You just don't get the variety or the sense of what's going on in regions or in states. You get the same junk that we get here in Washington, D.C. on a regular basis. It's really pretty bad.
I don't know if the answer to this is the fairness doctrine, because not sure that that is the answer. I think one of the problems is consolidation. And I think another one of the problems is, and I was talking to somebody in the business about this yesterday, and I want to see what you think about it, because I want to run this by you. The talk stations in this country, the majority of them, overwhelmingly, have one thing in common. And the one thing that they have in common is that they are all run by conservative white males who have pushed the format farther to the right than it's ever been. And it used to be that those of us who were liberal or progressive, we could work on those radio stations. While we weren't overwhelmingly the majority of the staff, we were at least there. Now we've boiled down to a situation where we can't even get jobs there anymore.
Right. Well, it is. We do not suggest that the fairness doctrine is the answer to these problems. We really focus in our report on ownership and on local empowerment in the community to really have an impact on these local stations. And, that's really where we think the problem is. The consolidation, as I think you correctly identify, leads to an effect where the owners naturally try to reduce their costs across the board. And if they're in, no city, Texas, they don't care what's going on really in Utah or what's happening in Iowa or, some other small community where they own the station. So they pipe this stuff in with no consideration. And the advertising industry operates to sort of support that by supporting these talk show hosts that are syndicated around the country, and they, have got these giant ad buys. And so it's just the whole structure works against local talk, works against any sort of balance in talk, and that's really what we've focused on here.
It does work against it. You're absolutely right about that. That there is no diversity. I mean, there's no diversity of any kind, and it's always the same thing over and over and over again, to the point where, as I said before, it's boring. Then you've got another aspect of this. This is not a normal, and I can't believe the amount of people who don't understand this. This is not a normal business. It's not a business per se like a motorcycle shop,
right?
Or a car dealership or anything else you can think about, a bookstore. Because the broadcast band is a finite resource that few people can get control of, and only a few people have control of it. So were we all raised to believe that they owed the public something? And we used to, in the old days, we did have to meet public commitments, and now we have no public commitments to meet.
Well, I mean, this is one of the things that's really sort of so tricky about these sets of arguments. It is that every commercial broadcast licensee gets a free license from the federal government, is protected by the federal government from interference from other sources, whether it's, telemedicine or, pirate radio. Broadcasters are protected by the federal government, by your tax dollars. And in exchange for that protection, in exchange for that designation of frequency, the broadcaster struck a deal, and the deal was we will serve our local community in exchange for this free license and in exchange for the protection that we get from the federal government. And then the broadcaster said, well, listen, this really isn't such a good deal. we don't really want to have to do much of anything in order to get the federal protection, in order to get this free license. And so all, you know, all we're saying with our report is, look, if the broadcasters want this deal, if they want what's called this sort of public trustee regime where they get the airwaves for free and then they're able to put out what they want, then they should do some minimum things to be able to serve the local community and to be responsible to that local community. And if they don't want to do that, if they say, you know, we want the free license, we want the federal protection, just, you know, we don't want to have any obligation, then fine, let them pay. Let them pay to fund other people who are willing to do that. And so that's, it really is, the whole notions of scarcity that the conservatives sort of love to drum up is almost a false argument. The fact is that the commercial broadcasters insisted on the regime that we've got now. They said, listen.
Well, they lobbied. They lobbied heavily for it.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, this is their regime. So part of what happens is they call in the sheriff, and then they say, hey, look, the sheriff's here. We're being oppressed.
The irony of it is the person who put us in this position is William Jefferson Clinton. No, it's true. I mean, nobody calls him on it. Nobody ever bothers to say anything about it. But he signed the Telecom Act of 96 that stuck us in this. I mean, I started ranting and raving and just roaring at the TV because Al Gore was on Keith Olbermann. God forbid somebody who leans to the left on a network television show. And he's complaining about the discourse in society and the media, and he's going on and on. Hey, Al, you and your boss stuck us in this position.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right, and I was one of the few people here in Washington. Well, yeah, I mean, there were a number of us who were yelling and screaming about this. This was a bad deal, the 1996 Telecommunications Act. We got some good things out of it, but once you balance everything out, it was a bad deal. And we should not hesitate to hold Clinton and Gore and all the rest of the folks who were in charge then to task for what they did. But we need to remember that this is Republican Congress, and compromises needed to be made if we were going to pass legislation, and that was the compromise that was made. But the problems began during the Reagan administration. They began in the 80s.
Yes, he started it.
That's right. They started a while back with, you know, the notions of, you know, these nutty people like Mark Fowler who said, you know, the television is just like a toaster. It ought to be regulated like any other appliance. It's, the sort of notion that somehow the market is going to handle all these problems is one of the dominant characteristics of our debate about communications policy. It's either the market's going to handle all this stuff or new technology. So part of what Gore is saying, and I've argued before about this, is that, well, we don't really need to worry about some of those old technologies like radio because the Internet's going to solve all that. And the Internet is a wonderful resource. I use it all the time. I'm online now. But it doesn't do me very much good when I'm in my car.
No, right now you can't. Right, you're right. Right now you can't access it. And the thing is, I mean, in your report, by the way, I'm going to tell people it's 7:18, 18 minutes after 7, and we've got Mark Lloyd on the air from the Center for American Progress. He's a senior fellow and an affiliated professor at Georgetown Public Policy Institute. Let me run over some of these things about your report about talk radio, that 90% of Americans age 12 and older listen to the radio each week, that there are 257 is the number of news talk stations owned by the top five companies, 2,570 hours of conservative talk broadcast by those radio stations each day, 254 hours of progressive talk by those stations each day, 92% of those stations, that's 236 out of 257, that broadcast no progressive programming, 91 percentage of total weekly talk programming that is conservative, and then you list two cities, Dallas, Houston, and Philadelphia, also L.A. and San Francisco, and in Dallas, Houston, and Philadelphia, 100% conservative, and 69% of news talk in L.A. and San Francisco that is conservative. Yeah, I would love to sit down with Al Gore. I would love to sit down with anybody in the Democratic Party and talk to them about this. And I have talked to people, congresspeople in the Democratic Party, about this issue. But you can't. The only way you're ever going to get to the bottom of this, the only way you're going to get anybody to really talk about this is, you know what they would have to do, is they would have to go around and subpoena people so that they would have no choice but to show up and testify and ask people in the inside about what's going on and have them talk about what's happening, because otherwise nobody's going to speak up because they're scared for their jobs. Thank God I work for a market manager here and for an operations director here that has never once told me, don't do this, don't talk about that. They've never said anything. But my situation is extremely rare. That's not true for the rest of the industry.
Well, that's right. And so, I mean, this is a business. You know, people, you know, make money by working for these large corporations, and they, you know, feed their families and put their kids through college. And I mean, it is a business in America, first and foremost, unlike some other industrial nations, you know, where the idea is to preserve the culture of the country or something like that. I mean, in America, it is only business. If we are going to get to the point where we're going to correct this, and more important, I think, is sort of getting to the initial point that you made, to make sure that local communities really have got information at the local level about things they're going to make decisions about when they go to the polls or when they write to their members of Congress or to their mayors or their governors. If they don't have information, if they don't have local debates, if they don't find out what local citizens think about what's happening locally, if they're not able to discuss and air these local views, how do they make intelligent decisions at the local or state level? And so all we're saying is that we've got this incredible regime for radio that has great power to reach people, that has important impacts on what's happening locally and democratic discussion. Let's use it to those ends. Let's make sure people have got local information. And the way to do that is to open up ownership opportunities. We're not talking about shutting anybody down or the fairness doctrine. We're not saying, you know, get rid of conservatives. All we're saying, let's open up ownership opportunities, get more people on the air. More people on the air will provide more diversity of viewpoints, and we'll be satisfied. That's all.
Yeah, and for people like myself who are inside this, I feel sorry for the listeners. I feel sorry for the listeners because not only the aspects that you brought up, but what I'll bring up again, which is there used to be so much creativity and so much entertainment value to this, and it used to be that you had wildly wonderful, bigger-than-life characters on the air who had all kinds of opinions about all kinds of things, and now you don't have that at all. What you basically have is either no local programming in a lot of these markets, or one live show, and they all do the same thing. They're all into the same thing. It's
that's right.
An example of that was I was in California in some family business. I was in Los Angeles, in Orange County. I turned on two of the major talk stations there, and both of them were doing the same thing. They were attacking illegal immigrants and immigrants who were here illegally of Hispanic heritage, and it's like, yeah, okay, but I've heard that before, and how hard is that, and how how creative is that, and give me a break, and it's just,
right.
It's really boring, and I'm going to tell you something, you mark my words on this, these folks are killing themselves, because in the end, nobody wants to watch the same story over and over and over again, because after a while, they understand what's going on, and they get bored with it. Same thing's going to happen here. Plus, on top of that, the country is shifting politically. And these folks are going to be left out in the cold. And you're going to have a big disaster come in one of these communities. And I don't want to be Michael Chertoff, but you're going to have one. And they're going to turn on their local radio station. their local quote-unquote news talk outlet. And with the rare exception of our big brother station here, KOA, which has a big, huge newsroom which services all the stations, most of these markets, there's nobody there.
Right.
So you could have, like, a bad chemical spill or something, and, oops, sorry, nobody there.
But one of the challenges is that illegal immigrants, illegal or otherwise immigrants, they don't advertise. So, I mean, they are not the sort of population that that owners need to worry about in their advertising pool. But if you start going after the gas companies, or if you start going after the car makers, or if you go after GE, or if you go after chemical companies that might be polluting in your community, or if you go after the people who are, you know, providing you with with food that might not be the best food in the world, then all of a sudden you're going after the advertising base. It is much easier, much safer for an owner to make sure that their talk show host is going after those folks that don't advertise on their station. And so the immigrants are, it's an easy population to go after. I mean, imagine them going after Halliburton, or imagine them going after GE, or, you know, one of these giant...
Well, I think that happens, but I think that... Well, if we had more time, we'd get into this, because I think there's we might have a divergence of opinion on that. But I thank you for being on, Mark, and it's an interesting study. People can go to the center website and look at it. Thanks so much for being here, and maybe we'll cross paths again. You never know. I appreciate you being on the show.
CheaperUsedAutos.com. Best car prices anywhere. Thinking about a summer road trip but not sure if the family wagon can make it? Well, don't worry. Just visit CheaperUsedAutos.com. At CheaperUsedAutos.com, check out over 800 vehicles. Up close and personal. Cars, trucks, and SUVs, all right here in Denver. Many under $10,000, including low-mileage program vehicles, all with special internet pricing. Time is money, so don't waste yours running all over town. Chances are, they have what you're looking for. It's easy. CheaperUsedAutos.com. Best car prices anywhere.
Weather outlook today, expect partly cloudy skies. We're going to get more isolated afternoon showers. High of 87 today. Right now, partly cloudy and 61. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Denver Health, Colorado's academic Level 1 Trauma Center, has immediate openings for registered nurses, certified addictions counselors, and physical therapists. For more information, visit denverhealth.org. That's denverhealth.org. Denver Health, Level 1 Care for All.
Just Brakes.
Yes. Does Just Brakes have a good deal on pads and shoes?
Yes, ma'am. Just Brakes will replace pads and shoes on all four wheels for $99.88.
Including installation?
Yes, ma'am. We'll also machine rotors and drums and inspect your brake system for any other problems.
Just Brakes installs pads and shoes on all four wheels and even machines rotors and drums for $99.88? That's a great deal. And, of course, I only trust my car to the true brake safety experts. Why do you do it, Just Brakes?
At Just Brakes, we
additional parts and services cost more. Offer good on most cars and light trucks.
728, 28 minutes after the hour here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Hey, life is really complicated in this country. No question, right? So let's simplify things. And the people who simplify things when it comes to buying a car is Rockies. Why? Well, first thing, plenty of selection. You got to have that. I mean, you got to have something to choose from. And they have over 650. Of the cleanest late model used cars, trucks, minivans, vans, and SUVs in all of Colorado. Expert guidance. These guys are more than just people there to sell cars. They're there to get you the deal that you're comfortable with and get you the vehicle that you really want. I'm talking about Tom and Marv Alshire. I'm talking about Spanky Herrera. I'm talking about Juan and Adolf and Freddie Labrado and so many of the people working at Rockies Autos. Here's something else. Matching down incentive helps you money-wise. And finally, and this is a big part of it, Rockies is in this for the long haul, which means that there's no profit in them burning anybody, cheating anybody, and they never have and they never will. They're in it for the long haul. You go there, you're satisfied. You go to somebody else and say, hey, I got a great deal at Rockies. They treated me right. That person's going to go there. That's what they're all about. They've been family-owned and operated since 1982. They're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Check them out on the internet at RockiesAutos.com. Pre-qualify for a car loan or get out there and see them in person. 63rd and Federal.
You may be sitting there right now wondering how you're going to make it through the day. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams, remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself. Call 1-800-500-5509. 1-800-500-5509. That's 1-800-500-5509.
Mortgage rates are starting to climb, so now is the time to refinance at LendingTree before rates go even higher. Choose from up to four offers today. Call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com for licensing. When banks compete, you win.
AM 760, Progressive Talk, and AEG Live are excited to welcome former Vice President Al Gore to the Wells Fargo Theater at the Colorado Convention Center on Tuesday, October 2nd. Tickets for this special multimedia presentation on global warming go on sale Monday, July 16th. But AM 760 is giving you the chance to win them before you can buy them. Listen to Jay Marvin this Friday morning for your chance to win. Progressive Club members, visit AM760.net for a special internet pre-sale beginning Friday at 10 a.m.
I'm going to be giving away Al Gore tickets Friday morning. You'll want to win. 7:31, 31 minutes after the hour here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Severe thunderstorms, high today, 86. Hendrix. Okay. Fighting the everyday boredom and mundane blabber of talk radio, it's the irrepressible and the unpredictable, innovative, and challenging Gina Michaels with traffic.
All right. Thanks, Jay. A wreck off the highway in Greenwood Village, Bellevue at Holly. Definitely heavier traffic if you're headed northbound on I-25 through the Tech Center. I-70 Dragon now either side of the I-25 interchange. And a stall eastbound 6th had that bogged down for your commute as usual between Sheridan and I-25. Weather outlook today, you can expect partly cloudy skies with isolated afternoon showers and a high of 87. Looks like more of the same this evening with a low of 59 and currently partly cloudy in 61. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Release your inner pirate with hourly treasure hunt cash drawings every day at Fortune Valley Hotel and Casino in Central.
Sunday night, July 15th on Lifetime. Joining the hit series Army Wives, it's the series premiere of Side Order of Life.
You're marrying a guy who's ready to get married.
Jenny was living the life she always dreamed of.
Wedding dream again? Naked or just panties?
Panties.
Until a lifelong friend showed up with a wake-up call.
He's a great-looking shoe that's not in your size.
I gotta go.
Marisa Coughlin, Jason Priestley, Side Order of Life. Series premieres Sunday night, July 15th at 8, 7 Central on Lifetime.
Car wrecks than any other way. Over 5,000 per year. Please caution your kids about drinking, drugs, distractions, reckless driving, and their future records. Because even though you can't go everywhere your kids go, your words can. This is from Delaware North Company's Travel Hospitality Services, operators of Red Rock Bar, Lefty's Colorado Trail Grill, Lefty's Mile High Grill, and Lefty's Front Range Grill at the Denver International Airport.
Business owners, if you want half-off paperclips, we can't help you. If you want half-off letterhead or coffee mugs, we can't help you. But if you want to save up to half the cost on your new building, well, we can help you. We're General Steel, and we can get you a brand new steel building for up to half the cost of conventional construction, and it can be put up in about half the time. For your free information, call 800-300-5581. That's 800-300-5581. 800-300-5581.
7:33, 33 minutes after the hour here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I love to talk about Mike Turner and Scott Henderson. One of the reasons is because I'm going to lunch with them today, and maybe if I give them a good plug on the air, they'll buy me lunch. And I don't eat much, which is also a really good thing. But if you're looking for a progressive trial lawyer, progressive trial lawyers, plural, because there's two of them, then I got to tell you about my buddies Mike Turner and Scott Henderson. They have years of personal injury experience. They have successfully prosecuted a variety of personal injury cases, such as medical malpractice, wrongful death, and auto collision cases. These guys are not quote-unquote ambulance chasers. What they are is they're deeply committed to progressive politics and programs that support and advance the interest of real folks like you and I who have been wronged by corporations and insurance companies. To put it in plain words, don't be bullied by these big boys. Get hooked up with two guys that will take them on and take them on the right way. They're progressive lawyers, Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, who will fight for you. The law offices of Mike Turner, call them at 303-300-1661 or check them out on the web at MikeTurnerLaw.com.
Honey, remember how I felt after swing dancing?
Oh, you got a pain reliever for your arthritis pain.
That wasn't as bad as trying tennis.
When you got something just for a sore shoulder.
But I'm done taking different pain relievers. Now I'm all Advil.
Mm-hmm.
It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain.
So what are we waiting for? Let's dance.
I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers for minor arthritis pain, use as directed.
Ready for a dogfight? Climb into the cockpit. Take a high G climb through the clouds and scream into the heart of battle. Four bombers on your tail. Dogfights is back on the History Channel. And this year, we're flying higher and shooting faster with computer graphics so real, you'll duck for cover. Strap yourself in for an all-new season, Friday nights at 9, 8 Central, only on the History Channel. Then play Dogfights the Game on History.com.
This is Randy Rhodes, and I'm coming up this afternoon. And right now, you got Jay Marvin right here on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 735, 35 minutes after the hour here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Severe thunderstorms, high today 86. We're going to talk to Brian Katulis. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. His work examines U.S. national security policy in the Middle East and democratization with a focus on Iraq. We've had him on numerous times. He's published articles in the Los Angeles Times, the Washington Post, the Christian Science Monitor, among other publications. You can check out his work at AmericanProgress.org. And, Brian, welcome back to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know what to say to you. And the reason I don't know what to say to you is because we have the progress report, the draft, leaks out. It turns out that the Iraqi government has made no benchmarks. Then it turns around yesterday afternoon, and now it's a couple of benchmarks. And yesterday, we get the same tired, worn-out talking points from the same cast of characters about what's going on here. And it's like, what are you going to say?
Well, those talking points, really, I think you hit the nail on the head there, because I think more and more Americans understand that what President Bush said and what Senator McCain said in 2005 just doesn't fly in 2007. And you've got members of their own party starting to agree with this, what I call emerging consensus, just a sensible consensus that we've got to change the policy in Iraq. And I was flabbergasted when I saw President Bush yesterday, because it looked like, I thought I was watching a reel from like 2004 or 2005. You know, democracy was going to defeat terror. He was going to listen to the military commanders on the ground, and that's it. And clearly, I mean, they're just so isolated, not only from the rest of the country, but increasingly from his own political party, that I suspect in the next couple of months, if they don't change, you're going to have a consensus in Congress that's going to force them to change.
I don't think they are going to change, even with the defections on the Republican side that are going up. They're not going to change. It's like no fresh air gets into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Well, I'll dispute that a little bit, because there's I think I mentioned this before, this General Douglas Lute, Lieutenant General, the new coordinator of Iraq and Afghanistan policy. He has a very different view, and he didn't state this as clearly, you know, in the public and things like this, but I think he's fighting a good fight, and he's a military professional. He's an active general. He understands what this war is doing to our ground forces and what it's not doing to improve the situation in Iraq. And I think, you know, you're going to see some change. I think it's going to be half a loaf. That's my worry, is that they're going to split some sort of difference here. And it's still not going to get substantially better, because, you know, in our, as we argue in our new report, you need to basically hit the Control-Alt-Delete button here. You need to have a reset, a complete overhaul of our approach, not only to Iraq and the Middle East. But, you know, any change is a lot better than just simply sending more troops into the grinder out there and the situation not getting any better.
Well, they don't tell the truth about anything. This is the problem. I mean, now, yesterday, the talking heads of the administration are saying, well, wait and give the surge a chance.
Yeah.
But how long has this surge been going on? I mean, it started, what, 6 months ago?
Yeah, it started in February. Now, the full complement of U.S. forces didn't arrive until mid-June. So that's their argument, is that it's only, like, really a full month available, you know, a full month in play. But I, you know, from the get-go, when you look at political dynamics in Iraq, when you look at the nature of the violence, the simple fact of the matter is more U.S. boots on the ground aren't going to solve these vicious struggles for power, which essentially that's what we've got going on in the different corners of Iraq. And it's just sad to say. I think it's just a misuse of our considerable military power and our young men and women in uniform. They're doing what they can, but it's like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. If you know what I mean. I mean, it's just they're not going to be able to accomplish the goals that President Bush set out because they're unrealistic and disconnected from Iraq's reality.
7:40. It's 40 minutes past the hour here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Brian Katulis with us. Here's the thing that frustrates me. Here's the thing that drives me nuts. Listen to Joseph Lieberman yesterday. Listen to this.
The war is not lost in Iraq. In fact, now American and Iraqi security forces are winning. The enemy is on the run in Iraq.
How does he make that statement? How does he make that statement to the American public, to his constituents? How does he make that statement when he can't support that?
Yeah, well, you know, the first thing is path dependence. You've got political leaders, and Lieberman is one of these politicians in Washington, who staked out a position a couple of years ago, and they just don't have the courage to change their position. They got to stick to their gun, even if the whole reality is shifted and changed. I mean, his statement that we've got the enemy on the run, he can't even define what the enemy is, because Iraq has at least four different internal conflicts, and simply slapping a label, as they did 2 weeks ago in this operation in Diyala, a label of al-Qaeda on who we're fighting, it just really abstracts from the complexity of the situation. I mean, essentially in this province, Diyala, 60% Shiite, 40% Sunni, a lot of the violence is simply, you know, tension, intercommunal tensions between those two communities. And here's the dangerous thing, is that the Iraqi security forces, many of which were given our taxpayer money to give weapons and training to, they're involved in different sides of this conflict. And that's the real dangerous thing, is when you look at the trajectory of the violence, and the simple fact of the matter is that more weapons and more assistance to the Iraqi security forces has actually escalated the violence. And that's one thing that I think Americans need to start talking about more.
Well, I agree. I mean, this whole idea of we'll stand down when they stand up. Well, they're standing up all right, but they're choosing sides and fighting each other.
Yeah, and that's the problem here. It's not about skills building or training anymore. It's about allegiance and motivation. And this is, you know, I mentioned this bipartisan Iraq study group, which I thought was a fine effort, but they also condition their main recommendations on this stand up, stand down formula. And again, that does not reflect reality in Iraq, a very divided, fragmented Iraq these days, and we need to update our thinking to reflect that reality.
And then Lieberman, McCain, Lindsey Graham, they make all these statements yesterday, and the president, they make all these statements yesterday on a day when the Green Zone gets heavily shelled by mortars, one American gets killed, and some other people were killed, and that's supposed to be the safest place in Iraq, and it's clearly not.
Yes, and it's just deeply irresponsible. I mean, for President Bush, and he did this again, he said that those who attacked us on 9/11, those are the same forces that were fighting in Iraq. I mean, that is just deeply irresponsible, because, yes, there are some elements of al-Qaeda affiliates in Iraq. They're less than 7% of the violent groups in Iraq at this point. And we need our leaders to actually call it like it is. And I don't know. You know,
there's no indication, though, that they're going to. There's no indication that they're willing to. There's no indication that they live in a reality. There's no indication that they care.
Yeah.
What the majority of Americans, as reflected in polls, feel. And as a matter of fact, I've had supporters and very, very big supporters of the administration and people who identify themselves as being conservatives, when you cite these polls to them, they say, well, you know, polls don't matter.
Yeah.
Well, what matters here?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, those polls do matter because we do live in a democracy. I get frustrated myself because we've been pushing for some sensible change on Iraq for the last 2 years, and it just seems you know, this glacial pace at which Washington seems to move is frustrating. But at the end of the day, you know, the 2006 elections was a thumping, as President Bush said. And I think if they continue down a course that is so deeply unpopular and disconnected from what the public wants, they're going to pay a heavy price. And, you know, the situation in Iraq will remain a mess and will get worse if they don't change. I think you're going to see some small changes in the next couple of months. But I don't think, you know, President Bush has indicated that, you know, it's not, we're going to stay in Iraq until, you know, I leave office, at least. He said this last year. And we have to deal with that reality and try to manage those risks and try to move forward as best as we can. But I think they're going to pay a high political price, conservatives and others who've rallied around this president's unpopular policy.
So you think they're going to have, you think they're going to have problems at the ballot box, but the current crop of people that are running, the majority of them, make what I think are irresponsible statements on this, on Iraq.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you got to look at, I think they're going to start to shift. Look, there's a piece in today's LA Times that talks about how some of the conservative presidential candidates are starting to hint that they're going to change their tune. And we all got to remember, we're in a representative democracy. These guys got to tap dance for us. I mean, if we actually express our opinions and go with what we think is right and not just swallow the nonsense that they try to feed us, you can change their tune. And the more and more we all speak out about it and then also offer a credible alternative, which is what we're trying to do at the center, the more you can try to get them to shift. It's frustrating because it takes some time. You know, it takes a little bit of time for these folks to catch up for some reason. And part of it is what I said about Lieberman, is that they staked out positions in the past, and they're disinclined to change on a dime because it's embarrassing to say, well, I was wrong. Some other leaders have said that they were wrong, and I think that's a good thing, and we got to push for that change.
7:46, 46 minutes after the hour here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. And Brian Katulis is on the air with us. We're talking about Iraq, and Brian is from the Center for American Progress and specializes in this. All right, in your opinion, we'll see small changes, but we won't see large ones. I don't think, I mean, even though these stories show up, like in the New York Times, and they'll show up in the Washington Post, that there's hints that the White House may alter the course a little bit to try to shore up sagging Republican support on the Hill for their situation. I don't see them changing all that much. And in the end, where do you think all of this ends up? We get nothing done or nothing happens until the guard hopefully changes at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, or does Congress ultimately, due to pressure from all of us out here, does Congress ultimately end up squaring off against Bush and they force a change, whether he likes it or not?
Well, you know, Yogi Berra said predictions difficult, especially about the future, and I think it's really hard to tell because a lot of it depends. I mean, if the Green Zone gets shelled continuously and more people are killed, you know, events on the ground will actually shape what a lot of what some people in Washington will say. But I think this is probably what's going to happen. I think you're going to hear a lot of dissent this summer. You're going to see a bad situation even get worse in Iraq this summer. And then come September, you're going to see a major defection. I think you're going to see Congress pushing for this bipartisan Iraq study group. And I think that's fine, but again, I think it's half a loaf. I think in some ways it actually doesn't reflect the reality on the ground right now in Iraq. But you're going to see a shift where you'll see a small withdrawal of U.S. forces. Now, there are dangers related to that in today's Iraq.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're not going to get out. Most people will call here and say, out now immediately. We're going to have to fight our way out of there.
Well, that's the problem. If, you know, there's these formulas, and the Iraq Study Group and others have advocated for this. And frankly, we were there about 2 years ago, too, at the center. And we've moved from that. But this position that you leave a smaller contingent to do training and counterterrorism and things like this. There, when you actually look at today's Iraq and you try to think through the logistical dynamics there and how you would actually do that, there's some serious questions about whether we would be further endangering our troops to no good end in that context, in a sense, having a smaller number of troops there, more isolated and then much more vulnerable to attacks from the multiple groups that are fighting each other and fighting us over there.
They're going to come after us when we leave. And
yeah.
I'm not talking about here. I'm not echoing the famous talking point about, you know, fighting them there so we don't have to fight them here, which obviously, if you listen to Michael Chertoff yesterday and his gut feeling, which I wonder how he would do it handicapping horses, indicates that that talking point's shot. But when I talk about we're going to have to fight our way out because they're going to come after us and try to kill as many of our folks on the way out when we make an exit.
Yeah, and it's a complicated look. When you talk to the military professionals, it probably takes anywhere from 10 to 12 months if we don't want to leave significant weapons and equipment behind to draw down the numbers of troops. And this is just the 160,000 to 170,000 troops we have. This doesn't talk about the private contractors, which rival our forces in numbers. But, you know, and that's why in our plan we used to be with an 18-month timeline. Now we're saying try to get nearly all troops out by a 12-month period because there are going to be attacks on the way out. Groups will try to exploit it. And I think that's the sort of thing, like, you know, you have some proposals saying you get out in 6 months. It's really not practical unless we want to leave, like, you know, large weapons behind, which won't help the situation, I don't think, in Iraq. So we really have to be concerned about some of these alternatives when I talked about, well, where the consensus might emerge this fall. It's not that great of a consensus, and that's why Americans need to raise some questions about, well, does it make sense to have our troops over there training Iraqi security forces that are essentially conducting sectarian cleansing campaigns? Does it make sense to have them more isolated and disconnected? And then also when you look at the broader dynamics, is this helping us in the so-called war on terror? And I think any kind of presence in Iraq at this point will be used as a rallying cry and a recruitment tool for al-Qaeda. And that's another dynamic I think people need to pay attention to.
I would agree. Brian, thank you. It's been great.
Great.
I know I'll have you on. I know we'll have you on again. Thank you so much, Brian. I really appreciate it.
Great, Jay. Good talk.
All right.
To
talk to you.
Bye.
This is Brian Katulis, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, talking about the Middle East, talking about the mess we're in Iraq. Boy, wouldn't you just... How much would you get for leadership that actually lives in reality? Republican or Democrat, I don't care. 52 minutes after the hour here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Gina Michaels with traffic.
Thanks, Jay. Well, nothing unusual for the commute. We just have all of our usual slow pockets. Definitely on that north side of town, eastbound 270, stacked up between I-76 and Vasquez. Also have heavier traffic on 225 both directions. Southbound, you'll run into those delays just after Parker, down to I-25 on the northbound side. I left to Alameda is especially heavy. Have one crash. It's off the highway, though, in the Inglewood area, Bellevue and Holly. Weather outlook today, partly cloudy skies expected. We're going to get more showers by this afternoon. High of 87. And tonight, some evening thunderstorms will prevail with a low of 59. Right now, under partly cloudy skies, it's 61. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Here in Denver, there are lots of Tex-Mex places, but only one Mountain Mex restaurant, Hacienda Colorado. It's south of
CheaperUsedAutos.com, where you'll always find the best used car prices. Thinking about hitting the road this summer, but you really want to do it in an SUV? Well, don't worry. Just visit CheaperUsedAutos.com. At CheaperUsedAutos.com, you'll always find an incredible selection of SUVs. All makes and models, foreign and domestic, each one with special internet pricing. Time is money, so don't waste yours running all over town. Chances are they have the SUV you're looking for. It's easy. CheaperUsedAutos.com. Best used car prices anywhere.
Progressive Club members, visit am760.net for a special internet pre-sale beginning Friday at 10 a.m.
Honey, our computer acts like it's possessed.
This is John Hogan with PC Answers. Let us come to your home or office and clean your computer with spyware and Trojans. We'll also teach you how to keep your system clean and safe in the future. All of this starting at just $89.95.
Call PC Answers today at 303-548-1414. Or if you can get online, go to pc-answers.com or troubleshooter.com. PC Answers, 303-548-1414.
Your attention, please. This is a public auction notice.
200 lender foreclosed and repossessed homes across Colorado must be sold at an unprecedented two-day public auction event. Again, over 200 houses, condos, and multi-unit foreclosed properties have been ordered sold by major financial institutions. Attractive and simple financing is available. These are lender repossessions and must be sold. Visit ushomeauction.com for complete details or call 1-800-311-1164 for your free catalog. All homes are located throughout Colorado and will be auctioned on August 4th and 5th. Buy homes at auction prices. Full details at ushomeauction.com. That's www.ushomeauction.com. You may also call 1-800-311-1164 or just Google home auction.
Auction conducted by Real Estate Disposition Corporation.
I wish I could talk like that. Attention! Okay. Homeowners, here's an important announcement from the mortgage store. You got to pay attention to this. Due to the adjustable rate mortgage crisis, the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation has pledged $20 billion in financing to help families stay in their homes and get a loan they can afford. And the best way to access this program is calling the mortgage store. They're dedicating $35 million to a bailout fund to help homeowners with adjustable rate mortgages going out of control. Get rid of that adjustable loan and all the other debt and get the security of one new low fixed payment and no payments for up to 90 days. The mortgage store is an Inc. 500 company and they're direct lender, and they can close your loan fast. They approve their own loans. So they can even say yes if you've been turned down elsewhere. Discover how much money you could be saving every single month. There's a limited amount of money available, so it's not going to last long. You've got to call now, which is a famous cliche and saying, but this is really true. So call them at 303-423-7171. That's 303-423-7171, 303-423-7171. Call the mortgage store. They're the guaranteed pros.
Remember how fun it was when your kids were learning to talk? You know, back when you were both speaking the same language. Don't you wish you could talk together like that again? Well, you can. You just need to learn to speak a whole new language together. And nobody makes learning a new language more fun than Rosetta Stone. The amazing Rosetta Stone software is the fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. There's no boring memorization, no drills. It's something the whole family can enjoy together. It can also help your kids do better in school. It can even help give mom and dad an extra edge at work. And best of all, learning a new language together will have the whole family talking to one another again. Doesn't that sound good? Your free Rosetta Stone demo CD-ROM lets you choose from 30 different languages, no strings attached. So call for your free demo CD-ROM and start learning a new language together now. 1-800-600-6117. That's 1-800-600-6117. 1-800-600-6117.
Making progress before you get to work with J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Good morning. 7:57 minutes after the hour here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Severe thunderstorms. High today, 86. Right now, the skies look clear. And yesterday, we were talking about the rain. And then it turns out people send me emails, well, what are you talking about? Because it's not raining where we are. So it was only like a little part of the area yesterday. All right, coming up, we're going to have one of my all-time favorite people on, Gustavo Arellano. He is the author of a brand new book called Ask a Mexican. He writes the column in Westward and around the country. It originates at Orange County Weekly called Ask a Mexican. You can see the older columns online if you go look them up. But you got to get this book. This book is funny, it's clever, and it's informative. And he's going to be at the Tattered Cover and is going to be talking about his work and signing books. And we're going to have him coming up. If you want to ask him any questions, I don't care what the questions are about Mexicans, the dreaded brown people, you can call him and ask him, and he'll answer. And that's coming up right around the corner here on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
While you're at your computer, there's AM 760 Progressive Talk on AM760.net. Log on and listen live. Every guest, every show, every day. Courtesy of the National Ballet Academy of Denver. AM 760 Progressive Talk is online at AM760.net.
We're back with Julia Witherspoon, founder of Cops and Kids Reading Centers, as featured on Oprah. She's been teaching kids to read at lightning speed, and she's sharing her secret with us.
It blows my mind how fast these kids are reading. And the thing is,
Anybody can do this, kids or adults.
Well, don't keep me in suspense. What is this secret?
It's called IQ, and it teaches you to read up to 10 times faster. And what's more amazing, you actually comprehend everything you read.
And am I to understand that anyone can try this for free?
Mm-hmm. You have their phone number right there.
Yep, here it is. Guys, to try this out for free, you got to call 1-800-300-5305.
Every home should have IQ. Every child should have IQ. And every adult.
Get your free demo of IQ right now and discover what Julia already knows. 1-800-300-5305. That's 1-800-300-5305. 1-800-300-5305.
Jay Marvin, Tom Hartman, Ed Schultz, Randy Rhodes, and Rachel Maddow. AM 760, Progressive Talk in High Definition. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. The man responsible for keeping America safe says this is no time to let up. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff told the Chicago Tribune editorial board he has a gut feeling Al-Qaeda might try something this summer.
We could easily be attacked. The intent to attack us remains as strong as it was on September 10, 2001.
Homeland Security spokesman Russ Kanaki hopes Americans will take that warning to heart.
We are asking the American public in these summer months when they're traveling, they're vacationing, that they keep their guard up and that if they see something abnormal, that they report that.
Officials say they have no specific intelligence about an imminent threat. Former White House political director Sarah Taylor is about to face the Senate Judiciary Committee, but with President Bush asserting executive privilege, Taylor says she won't talk about her role in the firing of 8 federal prosecutors unless a court tells her she has to. National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley is on Capitol Hill trying to shore up Republican support for the war. Brigadier General Robert Holmes says he hopes Congress won't set a deadline to leave Iraq.
We have a window of opportunity, possibly a brief window of opportunity, and I would not want to attach a timetable to it.
In Baghdad, CBS's Alan Pizzi tells us about a success for Iraqi troops.
Iraqi security forces claim that they seized 200 explosive belts of the type used by suicide bombers when they stopped a truck that crossed the border from Syria into Iraq. The belts were found inside the truck. The driver was detained.
American and Iraqi officials have repeatedly accused Syria of allowing foreign fighters into the country. Already saturated parts of Texas and Oklahoma have taken another hit from Mother Nature. Michael Ann Uten is with the Oklahoma Department of Emergency Management.
In the last 24 hours, we've not only had more flooding, but we've also had a tornado here in Oklahoma. So we're seeing additional homes that have been damaged, a lot of roadways that have washed out, and in some cases, bridges that have washed out.
It's been almost 4 years since a Pennsylvania bank robber died when the bomb around his neck blew up. Now, federal authorities are ready to announce charges in the case. CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers.
Nearly 4 years later, the pictures of Brian Wells' death are still shocking. He's seen in the final seconds of his life begging police to save him from the bomb locked around his neck. Moments later, Wells was dead, and police were trying to figure out how an Erie, Pennsylvania man who had gone out to deliver a pizza ended up robbing a bank, threatening tellers with a bomb he said had been locked on him by armed gunmen.
The White House press corps moved back into the West Wing this morning after a year-long remodeling job with an estimated cost of as much as $20 million. A familiar face was on hand to say hello.
Welcome back to the West Wing. We missed you.
Yeah.
Sort of.
In early trading, the Dow Industrials are up a point. NASDAQ is down 5. This is CBS News.
And now, Steve and the Orkin Trucks.
He's a road, he's a road.
For roach protection that performs, call 1-800-ORKINMAN or visit orkin.com.
Who doesn't love summer? The longer days, baseball games, and of course, road trips. That's why Econolodge and Roadway Inn Hotels are giving you a free $50 gas card. With our Easy Choice Rewards program, just redeem 6 stamps for your free $50 gas card. It's one more reason to love summer. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com today. We'll see you there.
Earn 1 stamp per night. Maximum 5 stamps for qualifying stay. Redeem 6 stamps between 6-1 and 8-16-07 to receive gas card. For details, visit easychoiceonline.com.
Contact Real Estate Disposition Corporation at ushomeauction.com.
Go
Good morning. I'm John M. with your AM 760 local news update. Talk about strange bedfellows. Our Colorado Democratic Senator Ken Salazar and Tennessee Republican Lamar Alexander will be pushing a proposal today in the hallowed halls of Congress that could allow the U.S. to start pulling troops out of Iraq by March. That announcement comes as the Senate starts another contentious debate over Iraq.
We need to figure this out fast, and the current surge is insufficient. It always has been.
Closer to home, immigration agents have now returned to the Swift & Company meatpacking plant in Greeley in a work site enforcement operation. Nobody's saying much about what went down. ICE officials plan a news conference today to release details. Union officials say agents showed up at three other Swift plants in Texas, Iowa, and Minnesota. And Governor Ritter gets a closer look at the beetle-infested trees posing a serious wildfire risk in the mountains. He'll be joining state and federal foresters today for a flyover of Kremlin, Vail, Breckenridge, other areas as the state steps up efforts to thin out those bug-killed trees. Jane Kemp lives up near Grand Lake. She says the infestation hit fast there.
I'd say 2 years ago, there were probably five spots on Shadow Mountain, and now the whole mountain is involved.
Kemp tells our partners at 9 News she's had to cut down over 100 trees on her property. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm John M. Now here's Gina Michaels with AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Thanks, Tom. We have a couple of highway crashes adding to your delays. Southbound 25 at 58 downtown. You can expect those backups to extend to I-76. Have problems on eastbound 6th merging to southbound 25, again due to a mishap there. You can hit that backup approaching Sheridan. And eastbound I-70 in the Boulder Turnpike lining up approaching Pecos. Security wait time at DIA, 5 minutes. Weather outlook today, expect partly cloudy skies. More isolated afternoon thunder showers and a high of 87. Currently, it's partly cloudy and 66. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get out of your car and into a Mercedes-Benz at Canyon Casino. The Cruise Through Summer Series continues with this Mercedes-Benz giveaway. Earn entry tickets daily to increase your chances of winning at Canyon Casino on Tuesday, July 31st. Stop by the Canyon Club or visit canyoncasino.com for details.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
This is the Jay Marvin Show. Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Oh, you gotta dig this. You just gotta dig it. Find the music. You know, if I could speak fluent Spanish, I would quit here today. I would quit here today and I would get a job at Tricolor or something. 807, 7 minutes after 8 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Severe thunderstorms, high today 86. Welcome to the program. The author of the brand new book, Ask a Mexican, Gustavo Arellano. He also writes the Orange County Weekly column, Ask a Mexican, which also runs across the country and westward. He's going to be at the Lodo Tattered Cover at 7:30 on Wednesday night. I'm almost tempted to say, man, I am not going to go to bed at 7 o'clock. I'm going to go to the Tattered Cover in Lodo and hang with him. He's just such a great guy. Gustavo, welcome to the program.
Gracias for having me. Thank you.
And you got a story about this song, too.
Oh, this song, it's La Marcha de Zacatecas. My parents, they're from Zacatecas, and this is the anthem of Zacatecas, and many people call it the second national anthem of Mexico. It's an amazing song. Whenever anyone from Zacatecas gets married, you enter the dance floor with this song. Just, you know, massive 18-piece brass band just blowing everyone's eardrums out. This is the most beautiful music in the world.
This is Banda El Recodo, by the way.
Yeah, the Banda El Recodo, the great. They are the best banda musicians out there ever. I mean, they've been going on now for 65 years, if not 70.
Yeah.
And I'm really impressed, by the way, that not only do you know who they are, but you own their CDs, and you've seen them, what, five times now?
Five.
That's amazing. A gabacho who loves Banda El Recodo. God bless you, man.
Well, listen, if I had money, I'd hire them to personally play at a party. I really love them. I think they're think they're great.
Well, that's what we do in Mexico, specifically the states that like banda music, like Zacatecas and Sinaloa specifically. What you'll do, you'll get a banda, you'll hire them for a couple of hours, and they just follow you around wherever you go, just playing, you know, music nonstop. It's like it's your own portable DJ, except it's banda music. It's great.
And what we should do here is, if they ever come to Denver, and they tour, they're on the road all the time, but if they ever come here, we ought to just all go, because it's a riot. I mean, it's a great time. Off the air, before we got into this, you and I were talking about this idea of cultural versus sociological, and I had said to you, yeah, I know there are negative things about Mexicans, but there are negative things about every group of people that there are. But you responded to me that a lot of the negative images that are transmitted by the media and a lot of the negative images that people have of Mexicans, that it's not cultural, it's sociological. Explain that.
I think a lot of the problems that people have with Mexicans, that they have too many kids, that they live 8 to a house, that they're drunks or whatever, you could apply that to most any culture in the world, and specifically to the poor people of the world. Poor, you know, if you're poor in society, you're going to have more pathologies than rich folks. So a lot of the problems that I've encountered or the reasons why people are upset about Mexicans, it's not because they're Mexican and so forth. They can't see it. They just think it's only Mexicans do this. But in fact, it's any culture. Back in the turn of the century, this idea that the fact that immigrants were having too many kids and were drunks and were welfare cheats and all these other things, that was being applied to Italians, to Eastern Europeans, and a generation before that to the Irish. So it's not something that's specifically Mexican. It's something that goes alongside with poor people. But because in this country, Mexicans have always been viewed suspiciously, we're just going to assume that only Mexicans do this, and therefore we should deport all of them.
They're the new target. There's no question about that. Actually, Mexicans and Muslims could kind of compete.
I saw this interesting post. I think it was on Free Republic. I've seen everything thrown against Mexicans, but this one was topped it all. They said, actually, Mexicans, they're latent Muslims because the Spaniards who came to Mexico, they came from Extremadura and Andalusia, and of course that was the place where the Moors had the biggest influence, and that the Muslims actually taught the Spaniards how to be conquistadors and all that, and Mexicans still carry that conquistador blood, not from the Spaniards, but from the Muslims. So to me, that was it. Like, we have officially gone into crazy mode here in this country if we're accusing Mexicans of being Islamofascist. It's insane.
That is insane. Here's something else. 6 years ago, you and I would not be sitting down probably and having this conversation about immigration and about Mexicans in America, whether legal or illegal. We would not be having this conversation. Now, 6 years later, 2007, we're sitting here and we're having this conversation. Why has this all of a sudden become a big issue? And people like Lou Dobbs and others, they're making a whole career out of this thing. Why now and not 6, 10, 15, 20 years ago?
I think in the borderlands, it's been going on since forever, especially in Orange County, where I'm from, and actually where you're from as well. This has been going on since the mid-1980s, and now it's just spreading across the country. And one way it's understandable, Latinos, specifically Mexicans, they are immigrating to places where they had never been before, North Carolina, Arkansas, even Alaska. But on the other, I think the more serious topic is, it's very easy to blame all the problems of this country on illegal immigration, on Mexicans, and really stray from the real threats happening to this nation, namely Al-Qaeda and, our imperial war in Iraq or so forth. It's easier to concentrate on what's immediately in front of us rather than really get to the nitty-gritty and talk about the problems that are truly affecting us. Frankly, Mexicans, I don't think they're a problem to this country. Not at all. Illegal immigration, it's been happening since the Pilgrims came to Plymouth Rock and, came to these Indians and said, hey, by the way, we're going to colonize. It's been happening since the beginning of time.
Well, I think you could raise the security risk question. I think you could say that you could have people through the porous borders sneak in here who are here not for good reasons, but are here to cause trouble. But that would only be a micro amount of folks as compared to the larger group of folks who come from Mexico, Central America, the Caribbean, they're here to better themselves. What I have never been able to figure out is what's the difference between that and the Irish and the Italians and the Poles and the Jews, and we could go on, who have come here over the years, and the Chinese, and it basically built the country. What is the difference?
Our conservative critics are going to say is that those people came to this country legally while these Mexicans are coming illegally. Well, that's really a red herring. One of my favorite questions, it's in the book, a guy wrote it and said, why don't Mexicans want to learn English? Are they too stupid? Do they not have gratitude for this country? Can't they learn two or three words a day? And my response was that the United States government shares your concerns. They released a 42-volume study that concluded that the recent wave of immigrants, they're dumber than the previous waves. They only come to this country to make money, send it back to the motherland. They don't want to assimilate into this country, and we should therefore clamp down on the border, put restrictions. And if that rhetoric sounds familiar, and it does because that's what Lou Dobbs is saying basically every night, but that report was actually called the Dillingham Commission, or it was a Dillingham report, and it was released in 1911, and those idiot immigrants, as you said earlier, they were the Irish, they were the Italians, they were the Poles. So this idea that somehow Mexicans, they shouldn't be in this country because they're illegal, it doesn't matter. Even when these cherished, mythologized immigrants of the past came to this country legally, they were still hated. America has this xenophobic streak in its brain that's never going to go away. Nowadays, it's just the Mexicans who bear the brunt of it. And also, though, I think what's different is that we've always had a rivalry with Mexico. In fact, this rivalry, you could even say, goes back to the days when Queen Elizabeth was fending off the Spanish Armada.
There's all this illogical spinoff of this, too. For instance, here's an article I found by Reuters. Listen to this. Now, how many times have you heard this? Okay. These immigrants, these illegal immigrants, they're killing the healthcare system. Check this out. Hispanics born and raised in the United States may be in poorer health than new immigrants with higher rates of diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, U.S. researchers reported on Tuesday. Poor eating habits, smoking, and lack of exercise are likely to blame the team at the University of Southern California, the University of California, Los Angeles, and the University of Pennsylvania put this report together. The researchers looked at a survey of more than 4,200 whites, blacks, and Hispanics age 40 or older interviewed by federal researchers between 1999 and 2002. So the reality of this is folks who are coming here are better off, are in better health, by and large, than people who are already living here.
Oh, but you're saying the truth, Jay. No one wants to hear the truth. Critics of immigration, they'll bring out these statistics saying that illegal immigrants cost counties or cities X amount of money a year. I know that Conservative Heritage Foundation, they came out with a recent report saying that if the Congress allowed amnesty for all these illegal immigrants, that it would eventually cost the United States about, what, $50 trillion in the next 50 years. These incredible amounts of money. But when you hear those sort of statistics, you could trace it back to a particular bias, and you could usually find stats that counter that. So I always try to go with what the federal government's saying, because they're the ones who actually know what's going on with this country, specifically with the statistics, not with everything in this country. But if you're relying on a statistic shit saying that illegal immigrants are going to cost this, and this, it's probably coming from a conservative source. Although, ultimately, it depends what the source, what's the methodology, and we'll leave it at that.
Okay, before we go to the break, and if you want to talk to Gustavo, 303-713-7600. Okay, here's an Ask the Mexican question. What is the deal with low riding and chopped cars? Why are Mexicans into that?
The joke for that one would be Mexicans are into low riders so they can cruise and pick strawberries at the same time. That's a joke, though. That's one of my all-time favorite ethnic jokes. But the reality is, lowriders really became popular in the 1940s in specifically in Los Angeles with the Pachuco culture. The Pachucos,
right,
of course, were their zoot suiters, and they tried to defy all authority. And one of the things that they would do to annoy the LAPD would be they'd put sandbags in their cars just to lower them. They knew they were going to get a ticket, but they didn't care. They thought it looked cool. And so over the years, with technology going up, they started getting hydraulics. They started just lowering them on purpose, and that just became a cultural trait that spread from Los Angeles to, I think, you know, the Southwest, to the Chicano culture and everything. And now, of course, rap stars like Snoop Dogg, they cruise in their 65 or 64 Impalas. It's just something that, it's a cultural phenomenon that just spread across the United States.
Now, what does it say, though, when you're a white person and you like it?
Hey, I love, God bless you. If you want to cruise in a 65, you better know how to take care of it, and you better be ready for a lot of stares, though. And it's not, they're not going to be angry stares. It's more like stares of jealousy.
Yeah, I always stare with jealousy. You're right about that. 303-713-7600, Ask a Mexican. That's the title of his new book and is also his column. We have Gustavo Arellano with us, and we'll take your calls and talk more about this. And we'll ask him some questions about Mexicans, like, for instance, why do Mexicans swim in the ocean with their clothes on? La Bamba, what's the song about anyway? And numerous other things. So stick around. It's 8:20, 20 minutes after 8. We should make the show bilingual, but I don't know how to... I only know how to say things like work and time and stuff like that.
Trabajo.
Yeah. We're going to look at progressive traffic with Gino Michael. So how would you say that in Spanish?
Tráfico progresivo. Get the good
stuff. This is Michael Waltrip here to let you know about a great new product at Napa. Napa now has 3M Performance Finish, a superior new waxing solution that actually bonds to your car's paint surface, providing long-lasting and durable paint protection, not to mention a deep gloss finish that will be the envy of all your neighbors. Protect your car today with 3M Performance Finish, just $12.49 at Napa.
Napa, get the good stuff. Get the good stuff.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. This is Ed Schultz for Front Range Preventive Imaging, and I'm here with Dr. Blanchett to talk to you about the EBT heart scan. Dr. Blanchett?
That's right, Ed. Preventive medicine is our best healthcare investment. Front Range Preventive Imaging provides vital preventive tests at affordable prices. EBT heart imaging is the most important test we do simply because heart disease is epidemic. 150,000 Americans die each year from their first symptom of heart disease. CT lung cancer screening can improve lung cancer survival from less than 5% to over 80% simply by finding the disease early enough. If you have a history of smoking, you need a CT lung scan. Ask your doctor if an EBT heart scan or CT lung scan might be important for you. Make a difference in your health. Call Front Range Preventive Imaging at 303-443-SCAN. That's 303-443-SCAN. Or visit our website at frontrangepreventiveimaging.com.
Credit card.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. This is Ed Schultz for Front Range Preventive Imaging, and I'm here with Dr. Blanchett to talk to you about the EBT heart scan. Dr. Blanchett?
That's right, Ed. Preventive medicine is our best healthcare investment. Front Range Preventive Imaging provides vital preventive tests at affordable prices. EBT heart imaging is the most important test we do simply because heart disease is epidemic. 150,000 Americans die each year from their first symptom of heart disease. CT lung cancer screening can improve lung cancer survival from less than 5% to over 80% simply by finding the disease early enough. If you have a history of smoking, you need a CT lung scan. Ask your doctor if an EBT heart scan or CT lung scan might be important for you. Make a difference in your health. Call Front Range Preventive Imaging at 303-443-SCAN. That's 303-443-SCAN. Or visit our website at frontrangepreventiveimaging.com.
Honey, remember how I felt after swing dancing?
Oh, you got a pain reliever for your arthritis pain.
That wasn't as bad as trying Dennis.
When you got something just for a sore shoulder.
But I'm done taking different pain relievers. Now I'm all Advil.
Mm-hmm.
It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain.
So what are we waiting for? Let's dance.
I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers for minor arthritis pain, use a strength.
Ready for a dogfight? Climb into the cockpit. Take a high G climb through the clouds and scream into the heart of battle. Four bombers on your tail. Dogfights is back on the History Channel. And this year, we're flying higher and shooting faster with computer graphics so real, you'll duck for cover. Strap yourself.
yourself in for an all-new season, Friday nights at 9, 8 Central, only on the History Channel. Then play Dogfights the Game on History.com.
AM 760, Progressive Talk, and AEG Live are excited to welcome former Vice President Al Gore to the Wells Fargo Theater at the Colorado Convention Center on Tuesday, October 2nd. Tickets for this special multimedia presentation on global warming go on sale Monday, July 16th. But AM 760 is giving you the chance to win them before you can buy them. Listen to Jay Marvin this Friday morning for your chance to win. Progressive Club members, visit AM760.net for a special internet pre-sale beginning Friday at 10 a.m.
Si vieras cómo te extraño, si vieras cómo me acuerdo cuando llegaste a mi corazón.
I love this music. You just want to grab a girl and twirl her around the dance floor. Do a nice little mestizo polka.
I always just want to lean in the mic and go, XRF, Ciudad Acuña, Coahuila, Mexico.
Sí, sí, aquí estamos. 1900 megawatts of power, de poder.
Right.
With that whole voice.
XRF. That's what it reminds me of. 825, 25 minutes after 8. Yeah, sometimes I'll drive around too and listen to this, and people will like say to me, what are you doing? Well, what do you mean, what am I doing? Well, what is that you're listening to?
That circus music.
Do you understand that? I'd say no, but music's universal. I don't need to know what the lyrics are. I just need to know that it sounds cool and I like it.
Exactly.
All right, do you want to take some calls?
Bring them on.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Por favor.
Por favor, please. JJ and Golden, JJ, you're on. Go.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hola, Gustavo.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Nada, nada. First off, I'm a Chicano, but I was born here in Denver, initially my question was going to be how much money is sent to Mexico by illegal aliens in this country, but you kind of dismissed that in your opening there, so I'd like to change my question. If you want to address that, I want to be fine too, but my question is going to be how is it that Mexicans want to come to the United States and hold all these rallies and demand rights that legally aren't theirs, but they don't want to rally on the streets of Mexico against the corruption and the elitist government that's down there.
I'll actually answer both questions. I don't know specifically with illegal aliens how much they do, but Mexican immigrants or Mexican people of Mexican descent in the United States last year sent $23 billion back to Mexico. That was the second largest amount of income after oil. And as to why aren't they holding rallies or anything like that, well, let's be honest, they'd be arrested. So instead, the Mexican immigrants are doing a much better way of transforming the country. All those billions of dollars that are being sent back to Mexico, believe it or not, but they're actually transforming the economy. The fact that Vicente Fox was elected to being the president in 2000, overthrowing the PRI that had been in power for 75 years, that signifies a major change in Mexico. It's not going to happen overnight. You don't see change overnight in any country unless it's via violent revolution, but it's happening. It is happening. They're transforming it, whether people want to believe it or not.
Okay, can you give me any kind, and I'm not trying to be wise with you or nothing,
no.
Can you give me any kind of links or stuff where I could, because I love to go and look at stuff to feed my brain on information like this, so do you got any kind of links or things I can do online?
Yeah, you should buy his book.
Buy my book, In terms of other more academic things, the other book I would actually buy, I'm going to give a plug to my friend, look up Sam Quiñones. Go to Tattered Cover or go to Amazon.com and look up the books of Sam Quiñones. He has amazing stories about Mexican immigrants in both Mexico and the United States, and they'll give you a better sense of what Mexican immigration is. In fact, Sam Quiñones, he's a little bit more conservative on this issue than me. He loves the Mexican people, but he also says, you know, they should stay in Mexico, and not so much because they shouldn't be in here in this country, but because that mass migration to the United States, in a way, it's just hollowing out Mexico, and it's really sad. It's ultimately a sad tale, but specifically by Antonio's Gun and Delfino's Dream and Ask a Mexican.
But you know, JJ, you could also ask the same question about people here. For instance, the polls indicate overwhelmingly that the majority of the people in this country don't like what's going on in Iraq, want us to get out, want an end. How come they're not all out in the streets?
I agree, but I was just directing it there, and I'm not trying to be facetious about it. I want the information. I love your column in Westford.
It's
awesome. I mean, I fell over laughing more than once, bro. I like what you're doing, and I'm not trying to throw a red herring in here or nothing. It's information that I honestly want to know. I appreciate what you're doing, and Jay Marvin, you know I love you, brother. Keep it up the turn vocals, Jay Marvin.
Yeah, there you go. He's in JJ's my only Chicano caller, and he's also into Lucha Libre.
Oh, how could anyone not be into Lucha Libre? That's a good man, JJ. Appreciate it.
Nacho.
There you go, brother. Thanks, man.
Later.
Yeah, I love Lucha Libre.
Oh, it's a great spectacle. Do they have it here in Denver?
They show it on television, yeah, but sure, and you can get it on cable. I don't know if they have it live here in Denver. If they did, I'd go.
Yeah.
And, of course, we all remember the legendary Mil Máscaras.
Of course, and El Santo as well.
El Santo, yeah.
El Mascador, the silver wrestler, silver mask wrestler.
Yeah, and also the Los Medicos.
Blue Demon.
The Luchadors.
Oh, yeah.
All those guys. That's good stuff. Okay, let's go to, who's on two? Is that John? Who's it? Bronwyn. Let's go to Bronwyn in Denver. Bronwyn, you're on AM 760. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I did have a comment about, because I'm a teacher, but first of all, I want to say that in the recent election in Mexico, a lot of people felt like it was stolen. And actually, Mexicans did have the huevos to stand up in the streets and say, our election was stolen, which
Very
is way
true.
More than I can say for us. So just to JJ, so he knows they do stand up in the streets because they made a big fuss about their election being stolen, which is more than I can say about the United States.
Thank you.
Okay, and I'm a teacher. I'm a bilingual teacher. I just wanted to make the comment because I know people are probably listening to you and steam is coming out of their ears, but I wanted to say that kids who come from Mexico and their parents are like 900 times more respectful of teachers and of the educational process than kids who were born here. They make this, of course, I'm totally generalizing, but I'm just saying that the students are great. They have a great attitude toward education. It's very important. And a lot of times when kids come from Mexico, if they've had regular schooling, which is not everybody, but a lot of kids who have had regular schooling, you'll find that the schools in Mexico are actually ahead of us, especially in math. Sometimes they'll come here and they'll just look at the math that we're doing here in the United States at the level we're at, and they'll just roll their eyes and say, oh, my God, I have to do this again. This is like baby math for me.
It's very true.
So those are my comments. Thank you.
No, thank you for saying the truth.
All right, thanks. We appreciate it.
Goodbye.
Well, there you go. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, that's also another big thing that goes wrong. They don't want to assimilate and they don't want to learn English. When studies show the Pew Hispanic
Center.
Research Center
yeah.
shows that second and third generation Mexicans learn English.
I always when people tell me that Mexicans don't want to assimilate, I always give them my family story. My father came here as an illegal immigrant in 1968 in the trunk of a Chevy. My mom was a legal immigrant. They're both citizens now. My dad got amnesty, but they still mostly speak Spanish. When I entered kindergarten, when myself and my three siblings, we entered kindergarten, we only spoke Spanish. We didn't speak English because our parents only spoke to us in Spanish. Here I am speaking Spanish. All my siblings, we got our college degrees, except the youngest. He's still in high school. We all fully assimilated into being Americans. And I'm not an exception. I'm the rule. All my cousins, all my friends, same thing. Children of illegal immigrants. We only spoke Spanish as toddlers, and we all spoke English. So to tell me that Mexicans somehow do not assimilate, I understand with the first generation of immigrants themselves that come here as adults. Yeah, I understand that. It's going to be tougher for them to learn English. But the children, they do learn English. They do learn English.
Well, you know what part of it is? Mm. Part of it is we're threatened by you. You know why? Because you're twice as empowered as we are. Because you know two languages.
Exactly.
Most of us barely know one, including the leader of this country. All right, stick around. It's 8:32, 32 minutes after the hour. If you want to talk to Gustavo, 303-713-7600. And he will be at the Tattered Cover tonight, 7:30 in Lodo, to autograph copies of and talk about his new book, Ask a Mexican, which is one of the best books, I think, released this year. Here's Gino with traffic.
Thanks, Jay. We have a broken-down semi that's blocking the left center lane westbound I-70. That's causing rolling backups for you between York and Brighton. Still have that wreck southbound 25 at 58 downtown. Eastbound 6 jammed up from Sheridan to I-25, but the wreck there at southbound 25 looks like it's out of the way. We've got northbound 25 starting to drag now from Downing Street to Alameda. And you still have good speeds, I-25 through the tech center. Weather outlook today, partly cloudy skies expected with some isolated afternoon showers, high of 87, currently partly cloudy and 66. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Be part of history. Help break the Guinness World Record for the longest paint by number at the Denver Art Museum's What in the World free week.
You know what's weird? I just signed up for Progressive car insurance and saved an extra $50 because I did it online, but their website couldn't be simpler. Maybe if they had one of those sites where your wife ends up telling you to stop yelling at the computer, you're frightening the children, I'd be like, okay, Progressive, you totally owe me $50 for that ordeal, but no, you sign up, it's easy, you save $50.
Go to Progressive.com, sign up online and save an extra $50. Progressive, it's about you and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Shell, we believe that the only thing better than making gasoline is finding a way to get more of it.
Yeah, not just more of it, for free.
So now you can get a $25 Shell gift card when you purchase 100 gallons of Shell gasoline with your new Shell card within 90 days of opening an account.
So cool.
That's a savings of 25 cents per gallon.
Trust me, best gas card ever.
Just pick up an application at your local Shell station. Visit GetMyShellCard.com or call 877-GO, the number 2, Shell, for details. Offer in September 30th.
I'm totally there.
Sunday, July 15th is premiere night on Lifetime at 8, 7 Central. Joining the hit series Army Wives, Marisa Coughlin and Jason Priestley star in the series premiere of Side Order of Life.
I should pick this ring.
Says you're marrying a guy who's ready to get married.
I gotta go.
Then, Lily Taylor stars as a therapist who needs a little therapy of her own in State of Mind, followed by Army Wives, the most watched series in Lifetime's history.
I'm here for whatever you need.
Premiere night begins Sunday, July 15th at 8, 7 Central on Lifetime.
Insurance claims. J.G. Wentworth has the expertise to get your money in your hands now. You've seen our ads on TV. Now is the time to call. For free information, just call 1-800-400-5581. We've helped tens of thousands of people get cash and get on with life. Call right now for free information. 1-800-400-5581. 1-800-400-5581.
Leave your computer problems to the pros at PC Answers. This is John Hogan, and starting at less than $100, PC Answers will come to your home or office and solve your computer problems.
Call PC Answers today at 303-548-1414 or visit them at pc-answers.com.
You may be sitting there right now wondering how you're going to make it through the day. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams, remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself. Call 1-800-500-5509. 1-800-500-5509. That's 1-800-500-5509.
Just Brakes.
How much are new brake pads installed?
For $99.88, we'll install pads and shoes in all four wheels and even machine rotors.
All four wheels? Wheels for $99.88. Why do you do it, Just Brakes?
Just Brakes, we really do.
Initial parts and services cost more. Offer good on most cars and light trucks.
You're listening to the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk and AM760.net.
Necesito de tus ojos para ver la luz. Necesito de tu cuerpo.
Translate.
Para el frío resistir.
I want to see an instant. I am the happiest man.
No te apartes ya de mí.
Don't part from me.
See, I have a hard time sometimes distinguishing this with, like, say, for instance, Cuban music.
No, this is cool. This is more of a cumbia salsa mix, and that's a great thing about banda music. It wasn't always just umpa music, and specifically a recodo, it wasn't always just umpa music or Mexican music. They put in some salsa things, they put in some cumbia. They'd even play big band. El Recodo, they have a greatest hit, and El Recodo, what was the song that they played? American Patrol by Glenn Miller, by the Glenn Miller Orchestra. They have this great version of it, and it sounds like any other swing band. What Don Cruz Lizárraga, the founder of El Recodo, what he wanted to do is make the world's greatest band. And in fact, toward the end of their career, they started touring Europe, Asia, all across the world. I mean, this is an internationally respected band, but if most gabachos hear it, they're like, it's dumb Mexican circus music. Little do you guys know.
Yeah, I don't think it is dumb Mexican circus music.
You're an exception, Jay. Most people do, unfortunately.
Well, that's because I secretly want to be Mexican. 8:38, 38 minutes after the hour here on AM 760, Progressive Talk, severe thunderstorms, high of 86. Jay Marvin along with Gustavo Arellano. Ask a Mexican is the name of the book. You want to ask him a question? What? Oh. We got to go to Laura in Winter Park because she's been hanging on the longest. Laura, you're on AM 760. Go ahead. Or I'm sorry, Heat. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to make one point that as our generation gets older and more people face retirement, if we can assimilate this population into the Social Security system, it would do a lot to help that particular cause.
There's actually been some studies showing that the bulk of Social Security is going to be coming from these new immigrants, and or, you know, immigrants that do pay into Social Security. And there was another study, I can't remember the particulars, but it's in my column. If you go to Westward, you could look through the archives. But there was one study showing that, I think it was in 20 years or so, but half of all the assets that American banks have in this country, the money is going to be coming from immigrants. I mean, that's how much of an economic impact immigrants have on this country right now.
I just don't think that point's been made strong enough.
Oh, well, it's been made, but then you have loudmouths like Lou Dobbs, Bill O'Reilly. They're going to be out shouting everyone else. What I try to do in the column, I put out the facts, and if people, the truths, you know, look up statistics, research, and whatever, and if people don't want to accept that, that's their problem, but at least it's out there for people to digest and spread around.
Well, another thought is that just as the Israelis have taken the water and the land from the Palestinians and caused a mass migration from Palestine. So in the 19th century, we took the land and the water from Mexico and gave them very little from the Colorado River.
Specifically from the Colorado River, you're right. But, you know, on that point of the United States stealing half of Mexico and what's now the Southwest, that's a historical reality. A lot of, you know, Chicano activists, they still dwell on that. And my response is, you know, get over it. That's, what, 150 years ago. Mexico, you know, still existed, still prospered to a particular point. And it's just a historical fact. But it's something that, yeah, that we can bring up. It was just part of America's imperial fun in the 19th century and to some ways still today.
Well, it's just one of the reasons for the migration.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right on that point.
Sorry,
I would like us to take a more continental look at this. Europe is consolidating and Asia is consolidating. I think we need to look at the continent.
As Los Tigres del Norte sang, we're all Americanos from Patagonia all the way to Alaska.
Yeah, right. I would agree with that too. Laura, thanks, man.
Sure.
Okay. Bye-bye. Which, you know, that the reason you people are coming here is because you want to take back the Western United States.
As a member of the invading Reconquista Army, I can say that's not true.
Right?
Of course.
Is it
Aslan?
Aslan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the concept of Aztlan actually was born here in Denver when Corky Gonzalez had his Chicano Youth Summit. I think it was 69 or 70. That's when they wrote El Plan de Aztlan. There was a poet from San Diego called Alurista. He made this entire poem about Aztlan and that, you know, myth that the Mexicans who were coming to this country, they were just reclaiming the land that was once part of the Aztecs. That's where it propagated. Of course, conservatives take it at face value. They don't see it as a myth. They don't see it as, you know, just a practical
point. No, what they do is they circulate emails about this is what they're really up to. Oh, come on. You know, give me a break. Somebody's trying to feed their family, trying to put food in their stomach. Are their families, are their kids? They're not thinking about coming here and taking over anything. They're thinking about turning a dollar.
Seriously, but again, you're saying the truth, so why are you saying that? They're not going to believe it.
You know, that's a good question. I don't understand why I am saying it. Okay, here's an Ask the Mexican question. Ask a Mexican. What do you people want to be called? You want to be called Mexican, Chicano, Latino? Hispanic?
We'd like to be called American, but that's never going to happen. So specifically, you have all these different terms, and they all have specific meanings. So the most overarching one is Hispanic. That deals with anyone who has any roots with Spain or Portugal. So, you know, the people in Spain and Portugal and even Brazil, those people are Hispanic. Latino specifically refers to Latin America. Any part of Latin America and anybody who comes from Latin America, they're Latino. Then after that, obviously Mexican is anybody who comes from Mexico, whether they're first generation or they still want to call themselves Mexican into the eighth generation. And Chicano specifically refers to people born here in the United States who identify with this Chicano identity, which is mainly, it's a good identity, you know, very activist, being proud of your community, being out there and trying to better your community. That's what you would call a Chicano. Of course, it's always very difficult to tell when you just see them by skin. You see a dark-skinned person, you assume, oh, you must be from Mexico. No, I'm from Guatemala. Or, no, my family's been in Pueblo for 5-6 generations. It's always very difficult. So just call them all, you know, Americans or something. Or beaners, too. That could work, but you don't want to do that.
I don't think that'd be the right
thing.
No. All right, I don't think it'd be the right thing. 303-713-7600, ask a Mexican live in person. Let's go to Tom in Denver. Tom, you're on AM 760. Go ahead.
That didn't exactly answer that question, Gustavo.
Which one?
The question is, what do you want to be called?
No, I mean, I explained them. I mean, me personally, what do I want to be called? I want to be called, sure, an American. I think a lot of Mexicans themselves, or just Latino immigrants specifically, they want people to acknowledge the differences in that. So you might want to be called American, but ultimately, specifically the immigrants, are going to identify more with their cultural roots. Latino, it's not something that you're usually going to be called. If you go to Latin America, they're not going to call themselves Latino. They're going to say, oh, soy salvadoreño, I'm Salvadoran, I'm Nicaraguan, I'm whatever, whatever, whatever. But, you know, speaking for myself, I'd like to be called American, although, of course, I identify myself as the Mexican.
Okay. Well, anyway, my question is, great title, by the way, on your book.
Thank you.
That's awesome. In fact, I want to get that. I can't afford to buy books.
This is the best read you'll ever... Trust me, man. You got to get this book. It's
really
great. Yes, it's great.
Ask a Mexican.
Yes, it's
That's
wonderful.
Great. Okay, here's my question, man. I work a lot with Mexicans, specifically illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them that I talk to, they say to me that if they could have their way, they would not even be here. They would be back down in Mexico, making a living and loving their country.
Yeah.
So. Aren't a lot of them up here specifically because their government is so messed up down there that it doesn't provide for their people?
Absolutely. As the first question stated, you know, when I talked to JJ the Chicano, exactly. A lot of these immigrants, the only reason they're here, they come here because there's a better life here. You could, I think in Mexico, you could make $40 a week doing, you know, certain jobs. Here you can make that in about a day. So these Mexicans come here to find a better life, and they do want to go back to their country. A lot of immigrants historically have wanted to go back to their country, but obviously when you come to this country, it's so much better than, you know, wherever you left. So you might have that illusion that you're going to return to your mother country, but over the years you start a family, you meet friends, and more importantly, the money here is so good compared to Mexico that you really don't want to leave. And there's always going to be Mexico in your heart, but then stark reality comes in and they stay here no matter what their conditions may be.
Okay, well, so then by us allowing this, are we just continuing to allow this problem to exist by just letting them come up here and work? I mean, because I'm sympathetic towards them.
Sure.
You know, and I have no problem with them at all.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, is that making the problem continue?
You know what? Yeah. Bottom line, yes. The fact that Mexico is losing all these people to the United States, no matter how many billions of dollars they send back to Mexico, in a way, it's hollowing out the country. It's robbing them of these very motivated people. Obviously, Mexicans come to this country, they work like crazy. Their kids, you know, a lot of those kids go to college. You could have all these brain cells in Mexico. Instead, all Mexico's doing is getting their money. And ultimately, in the long run, I don't think it's going to do good for Mexico. For the United States, hey, we get a full batch of motivated folks. We get to benefit from it, and Mexico obviously doesn't. But then you're right, though. The problem perpetuates itself.
Right. Perpetuates itself. That's the way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, we're not really helping solve the problem.
No. I would say not.
What about the idea? What about the idea of going to the Mexican government and saying, look, there's social inequality. There's unequal redistribution of the wealth. There's political corruption. Clean it up or else.
Exactly.
I think, you know, let me just jump in. And that's the one thing with the immigrants. With those billions of dollars that they've sent back, they've actually changed the political landscape of Mexico. Up until, say, the 70s or so, any Mexican who went to the United States, they were still looking down upon as, oh, you know, you couldn't make it in this country. But then those immigrants, they started sending money back to their hometowns. You know, again, talking about my parents' experience, 15 years ago, it was basically dirt. There was only one telephone. There was no potable water, none of that at all. But because these immigrants started sending all this money back to Mexico, now they've been able to get paved roads. And I know that doesn't seem like much, but trust me, in 15 years, that's pretty amazing. There's potable water. And more importantly now, though, they're building factories in these small little villages to make sure that those Mexicans who remain there, that they stay there. And if Mexicans want to go back to their, you know, mother countries, they could come back and they could find a job there. So the immigrants are the ones who are changing it from outside of Mexico. The Mexican government, they don't care. It's mostly a bunch of gallegos or criollos that, you know, whiter folks who want to hold on to power. It's the immigrants themselves, though, that are transforming it.
So, Jay, but clean it up or else what? We're going to bomb Mexico City?
I mean, no. I don't think so, but I think that we have, for a long, long time, this country has meddled in the affairs of Latin American countries, and not militarily. I mean, we've done things like, well, we've done everything from the harsh reality of supporting the Pinochet uprising against Allende to funding opposition parties, most notably also our involvement in with the Contras in Nicaragua. What about that same attitude towards Mexico? What about the same attitude of, okay, we're going to beam broadcast to you, we're going to talk about economic sanctions that will hurt the moneyed in your society? Because after all, you talk about being able to get goods, you talk about being able to get goods and services. Who's buying all this stuff from the United States? It's people with money.
Right.
They're the ones that are buying it. I mean, just any numerous things. But we, for years, have sat here and said nothing while all this crap's gone on. I mean, opposition leaders have been assassinated. You've had political dominance of one party for years. Anybody who's ever lived in any town in Mexico will tell you that there's mass corruption all kinds of levels. Mm-hmm. We don't do anything about that. We don't care. But I'll tell you one thing. We certainly do care every time Fidel Castro takes a breath. And we give a damn. I mean, we've been on the Cubans case for years and years, to the point where we have been meddling in their affairs.
And with Cuba, we actually accept all the immigrants. All you have to do is touch land in Florida, and you're here. And the United States government does not have a problem with that. Republicans, they don't have a problem with that. But when it's a Mexican trying to...
They have a trouble.
Oh, of course.
We used to give Cuban exiles, as the Cubans call them, gusanos. We used to give Cuban exiles, we used to give them houses, land, and money if they would defect. All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, Tom, you're welcome.
Later. All right. Stick around.
I'm here.
And you know what? You want to stay for another hour?
Yeah, let's do it.
And we'll make sure you get where you need to go. You need to go to Westward. We'll get you over there.
We'll get there.
The people of Westward can wait. Michael Roberts listens. He knows. He can tell them. 8:50, 50 minutes past the hour here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. More of your calls coming up with Gustavo Arellano. All right. Let's do traffic with Gina.
Thanks, Jay. Still a busy ride around the metro area, although we're seeing a little bit of recovery. Have that crash activity southbound 25 near 58 that's still bogging down your drive between I-76 and Spear. That broken down semi in the left center lane also has westbound I-70 dragging between York and Brighton. And we still have very heavy conditions on our eastbound arteries, including 6th Avenue out of Lakewood. Eastbound C-470 crossing Littleton and Highlands Ranch. Eastbound lanes of the Boulder Turnpike, not too bad right now at I-25. Weather outlook today, expect more of the same. Lots of afternoon showers. Partly cloudy skies, high of 87 tonight. More of the same with a low of 59. And currently, it's partly cloudy and 66. I'm Gina Michaels, AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Summer's here and it's heating up. This is the best time of year to apply Revive to your lawn. Get rid of those dry brown spots.
What's happening, Special Agent?
I've discovered something that lots of auto insurance companies don't want you to know. You can switch your auto insurance anytime. Fortunately, Esurance wants to get the word out to help drivers save time and money on auto insurance.
Copy that. But you can switch your auto insurance anytime, even before your other policy expires?
You sure can. There's no reason to pay too much for auto insurance a day longer than you have to.
I bet that's why over 500,000 drivers have switched to Esurance. And thousands more switch every week.
That's right. At Esurance.com, you can see your savings right away. With fast quotes and instant comparisons to other companies' prices, you'll know you're getting the best deal on auto insurance.
And if I want to switch to Esurance?
Just buy your Esurance policy and you can find out more about canceling your other coverage.
How much money could I save with Esurance?
Many drivers save hundreds of dollars a year with Esurance.
Well, who wouldn't want to switch and save today? Get your auto insurance quote at Esurance.com.
Do you ever have trouble getting yourself in gear?
Well, tomorrow night, Speed has something to get your motor running. It's a whole night made just for guys like you. Three hot shows, kinks all out. Fine-tuned, no beep in your vision. One incredible channel.
Tomorrow night on Speed, it all kicks off with hundreds of cars, thousands of fans, and 10 grand on the line for one lucky winner on the season premiere of Pink's All Out.
Let's go. Let's race.
Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Then at 9, how fine can a ride get? Check out the all-new Fine Tune with Dyson Beckford. And at 10 p.m., see what happens when you put hot girls, cool cars, and a whole lot of fun together in No Beat Tune Edition.
Are you guys having fun?
A new season for three hot shows on one adrenaline-filled channel. Premieres tomorrow night starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Only on Speed. Can you handle it?
1-800-400-5581. 1-800-400-5581.
All right, I'm sitting here talking to Gustavo, not paying attention to business. 8:54, 54 minutes after the hour here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Let me cut this one to the chase, because I have a tendency to go on long about these folks. Let me cut to the chase about Rocky's Autos. Here's the deal. You want selection, they've got it. Over 650 vehicles, clean, late model used cars, trucks, minivans, vans, and SUVs. They're all there. Largest selection in Colorado. You want good people to deal with? Okay. You go to Rocky's. Why? Because you got Tom and Marvell Shear, Spanky Herrera, Juan, Adolf, all of the folks who work at Rocky's. There's over 100 of them. They're dedicated to making your vehicle buying experience a good one. And back to the inventory for a second. You can check it out online at rockysautos.com. Go to the internets and check it out. Or get out there and see them in person. Ask about their matching down incentive, which helps you have more buying power. And they're open until 9, Monday through Saturday, so convenient time schedule, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Monday through Saturday. They've been family-owned and operated since 1982, and they've been around for a while now, and they're in it for the long haul. That's why they treat people right, because they want you to come back, and they want you to send other people to them. Rocky's Autos, they're my friends. I'm glad to talk about them. Get out there and see them today. They're located at the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike. No better place to go.
I love the Comcast Triple Play, especially Comcast Digital Voice. Because for just one price, I call whoever I want anywhere in the country and talk as much as I want. And that's a lot.
That's a lot of speed. Comcast high-speed internet is up to four times faster than 1.5 meg DSL. My whole online experience has changed. Downloads are faster, pages load faster. Nothing compares.
Nothing compares to watching my favorite movies and shows on my schedule whenever I want. Because I have on-demand with Comcast Digital Cable.
The Comcast Triple Play with high-speed internet.
Digital voice and digital cable.
Get all three for just $33 each per month for 1 year. The Comcast Triple Play. One company, one bill, three great services. Call 1-800-COMCAST to order the Comcast Triple Play. That's 1-800-COMCAST. Available to new customers only with subscription to all three services. After 1 year, regular monthly rates apply. Services not available in all areas. Speeds may vary and are not guaranteed. Restrictions apply. Call Comcast for details.
Keep your morning moving with me at 10, Tom Hartman. Right now, you've got Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Oh, my God. First AM 760 Progressive Talk, KKZN, was that left-wing, liberal, limp-wristed, spineless liberal talk. And now listen to the music out of Gladys. It's gone Mexican.
Yeah, no one who's weak and limp-wristed listens to this music. This is the most macho music on the planet. You know, death metal has nothing against this.
I agree.
This song's called ¿Qué te ha dado esa mujer? What has that woman given you?
Especially after you've had numerous bottles of cerveza.
Or tequila, you know, some cazadores. Yeah, you get five or six shots into you drinking this, you're going to be bawling like a baby, but also be, you know, ready to slug anyone who makes fun of you for it.
Our guest is Gustavo Arellano. The book is Ask a Mexican, and we'll take more of your phone calls for Gustavo coming up. Okay, this is on the cover, and I want you to explain this. La Bamba. What is that song about, and when are you guys going to get over the death of Richie Valens?
Mexicans never get over the death of anyone. That's why we celebrate Dia de los Muertos.
The dead
are, they're still alive to a certain point. Specifically, La Bamba, of course, Americans know it as a Richie Valens song or the Los Lobos cover, but it's also one of the most famous songs in Mexican society, period. And it's a song that goes back to the 1600s, and it was actually a political attack on the Spanish powers at the time. And the song is a jewel of another type of music, Mexican music form called Son Jarocho. There's La Bamba right there.
Yeah, that, and I like Volver, Volver.
Volver is Vicente Fernandez, of course.
That's all right, we'll talk about that on the other side. Maybe we can dig up some La Lupe. Even though she's Cuban, we should play her version of Fever. Okay, we'll continue here. Stick around on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
While you're at your computer, there's AM 760, Progressive Talk on AM760.net. Log on and listen live. Every guest, every show. Every day. Courtesy of the National Ballet Academy of Denver. AM 760 Progressive Talk is online at AM760.net.
Imagine what your life would be like if over half your credit card debt was gone. No more creditors hounding you for payment, no more late fees and rising interest rates. You don't have to imagine life without credit card debt. You can call Financial Freedom of America for a free, no-obligation debt consultation. Their friendly staff will show you how they can wipe out 30 to 60% of your credit card bills. In fact, you won't have to pay back a penny of the debt they settle for you. Call to see how you can save thousands of dollars. Call for a free, no-obligation debt consultation. You need $10,000 in credit card debt to qualify. Not available in all states. The call is free. The consultation is free. The information could change your life. Call 800-595-9985. That's 800-595-9985. Don't wait another minute. Call now for your free consultation. Call 800-595-9985. That's 800-595-9985. Call now. 800-595-9985.
AM 760 in HD.
Hey, Colorado, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to AM 760 Progressive Talk, KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. Front and center one more time, the probe into why 8 federal prosecutors were fired. It's on in the Senate, and we're live with CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
Former White House political director Sarah Taylor, who emailed Show was involved in the firing of U.S. attorneys, obeyed the congressional committee and came to testify, but said President Bush instructed her not to provide any information about the firings.
I intend to follow the president's instruction.
Democratic Chairman Pat Leahy wasn't happy.
It's apparent that this White House is contemptuous of the Congress and feels it does not have to explain itself to anyone.
Taylor said she's loyal to President Bush, but if a court rejects the executive privilege claim and decides she has to answer the Senate's questions, she will. Live on Capitol Hill, Bob Fuss, CBS News.
A strong warning from the Secretary of Homeland Security.
We could easily be attacked. The intent to attack us remains as strong as it was on September 10, 2001.
Michael Chertoff telling the Chicago Tribune he doesn't have specific intelligence, only a gut feeling. CBS News Homeland Security consultant Paul Kurtz says Chertoff has a purpose.
He's trying to give America a shot in the arm. Be awake, be aware, report to law enforcement authorities when you see something that doesn't look right.
Well, it's been almost 4 years since a Pennsylvania pizza delivery man died when a bomb locked around his neck exploded. Police had cornered Brian Wells after he robbed a bank. Now, CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers reports authorities are poised to charge two people.
Marjorie Deal Armstrong came to police attention when they found the chopped-up body of her boyfriend, James Roden, in the freezer of a house nearby. Convicted in that murder, she and a friend, Kenneth Barnes, are expected to be charged today in the bank robbery. What remains to be seen is if anyone will be charged in Wells' death and whether he himself was part of the plot.
A strong wind and lightning are hampering efforts to fight wildfires in California and 6 other western states. A storm system is expected to bring more lightning but little rain. Oklahoma was already waterlogged, but more thunderstorms have made the Sooner state's flooding misery even worse. Michael Ann Uten of the state's Emergency Management Office says affected residents have been wiped out.
It's quite devastating to these people. In a lot of cases, they've lived there their entire life, and basically all of their valuables are gone. And in most cases, they have no flood insurance.
So far, no injuries have been linked to the latest flooding. Well, President Bush played first ribbon cutter this morning. The occasion, the opening of the refurbished White House briefing room. The ceremony ended 11 months of exile for reporters. Mr. Bush told the assembled journalists, "We missed you." Sort of. A new White House forecast predicts the nation's budget deficit will drop to $205 billion in the fiscal year that ends in September, less than half of what it was at its peak in 2004. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 40 points and the NASDAQ is ahead 4. This is CBS News.
The new Die Hard Platinum presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Hey, Negative, you see what Bob just installed in the back seat for the kids?
Muzzles, I hope.
No, DVD monitors. Isn't that cool?
Great. First the GPS, now DVD players and monitors. It's a lot of juice for us to pump out.
What, can't handle it?
Look, if Bob wants to install a chandelier for a dome light, I can handle it.
The new Die Hard Platinum battery with Evolution Technology. Available at Sears and Sears.com/platinum. More starting power, more reserve power. Die Hard. Spiral AGM batteries.
Sea-Doo Personal Watercrafts are all about freedom. Freedom from rush hour traffic. Freedom from boring meetings. And now Sea-Doo adds freedom from payments. Purchase before August 5th and you'll enjoy no payments, no interest until next year. Plus, choose from up to $500 in gas money or a 3-year limited warranty. Hurry to your local dealer today. No payments, no interest, and free gas or warranty. That's what I call freedom. Sea-Doo.
You're listening to AM 760 Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Conditions and restrictions apply. See your dealer for details.
Contact Real Estate Disposition Corporation at ushomeauction.com.
Good morning. I'm John M. with your AM 760 local news update. Immigration enforcement agents returned to the Swift & Company meatpacking plant in Greeley yesterday in a worksite enforcement operation that actually garnered union support. ICE officials won't say what went on. They're planning a news conference today to release details. Union officials say agents did not appear to have used the same level of intimidation and overkill as those raids in December that resulted in 1,200 immigrant workers being arrested at grid plants in 6 cities. Progress has been made in fighting that 1,500-acre wildfire near Durango. Firefighters gaining full containment overnight.
The building line and some crews have started up some mop-up operations.
A fire spokesman says the aircraft that had been fighting the flames have now been sent to other fires raging across the west. And the former Rocky Flats weapons plant northwest of downtown Denver could become a national wildlife refuge as early as today. Rocky Flats officials say the Department of Energy, which oversaw the plant that made plutonium triggers for nuclear weapons, has signed off on the transfer. They're awaiting final approval from the Interior Department today. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm John M. Now here's Gina Michaels with AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Thanks, Don. Well, a much better ride now around the metro area. No wrecks, no significant delays. Southbound I-25 is a little bit busy between I-76 and Spear from an earlier wreck. Of course, we still have southbound I-25 heavy through the Thornton and North Glen area. Weather outlook today, expect partly cloudy skies. We're going to get more.
Hey, back to the show in just a sec. But before that, have you guys heard about this? There's this computer program that literally has newcomers to the internet earning tens of thousands of dollars. See, this program lets you start selling high-profit products on the internet using sites like eBay. Selling stuff like digital cameras and iPod accessories, even plasma TVs. Now, here's the part I think's interesting. You can make all this money selling products that you never have to see or store or pay for. And there's a company that's giving out a CD for free that tells you how to get started with it. The number for the free CD is, it's here, it's 1-800-322-7127. Looks like your computer does the work while you basically collect the money. Seems like an easy way to run a business out of your house. Anyway, to get the free CD, you call Internet Speedway at 1-800-322-7127. 1-800-322-7127.
Jay Marvin in the morning on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
The harder it is, the better it is.
Hell yeah. God bless those tubas, the clarinets. There's the clarinets right there. And they say Mexicans only play mariachi. Give me a break.
Isn't that great?
Banda El Recuerdo. 7 minutes after 9 here on AM 760. Progressive Talk. Severe thunderstorms today. High of 86. Jay Marvin along with you. We have, for a second hour here, we're blessed to have Gustavo Arellano. Ask a Mexican is the name of the book. Ask a Mexican is the name of his column. He'll be at the Tattered Cover in Lodo tonight to talk about the book. Going to, you know, sign copies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Take calls, and then afterward, we're all going to go drink.
Oh, yeah. Well, that sounds good. 7:30, that's tonight at the Tattered Cover at Lodo. I usually go to bed, though, about 7 o'clock.
Yeah, well, you got to get up early in the morning, I understand.
But I've told Arellano that Artur Gustavo Arellano that we have now named him our unofficial official correspondent on Mexican affairs. So you can list that on your resume. And what I mean by official unofficial means that we don't have any money to pay, but we'll give you plenty of exposure.
Hey, I appreciate it. Like a good Mexican, I'll undercut my opposition. So let's do it. If I can work for free just to get my point across, so be it.
And you also work. Your column is also covered, because I don't want to leave this out, and I have left it out. I shouldn't leave it out. Locally, we can read your column every week in Westward, which I think is one of the best alternative news weeklies in the country.
It is. Even from Orange County, of course, I'd say the OC Weekly is the best alt-weekly in the country, but number two would probably be Westward. I'd been reading it for years, even before they started carrying my column, and they've been carrying my column now for about a year and a half. I've gotten such a great response from Denver, and also from the editors, Patty Calhoun out there.
They're great. She's great. Michael Roberts, who works over there, is the best when it comes to the media.
Oh, yeah. The Message. I've been reading his. I don't even live here in Denver. I don't even know the characters of Denver media, but I always read his column because he just makes interesting stories. In fact, that's how I first heard about you, in a story that he did about you.
Yeah, he's done some stories on me, and you should, when you're over there, you should talk to him. He should do a story, which I think would be great. He should do a story on Mexican radio.
I think he's done a couple of them in the past. I know he's done specifically about, I think, the Rocky Mountain News or the Denver Post. They had like a Latino initiative with trying to get Latino reporters. And he interviewed somebody who used to work for the Orange County Register. Point is, he's just an amazing reporter when it comes to media.
Yeah, he knows everything there is to know. But I'd love to just see an article, like a rundown of all the Latino radio stations in town and what they offer and what they do.
Yeah.
For those of us who maybe we don't speak a lot of Spanish, but you hear banda, you hear corridos.
Norteño, the norteño music.
Cajunta.
Yeah.
And there's an article today in the New York Times about corridos.
Mm-hmm.
And want to investigate that, but you don't know where to go and who plays what. And you want to listen to a little bit of it.
Yeah, well, for the general big overview, of course, by the book, where I explain all of those different genres, different words, all that different stuff. But, on a more, rundown of the list, I should actually maybe do a small list just for, Westward readers. This is the Spanish language stuff that you could find. I'll tune in myself. I'm sure, though, Michael knows that and then some. Probably even knows the people behind that.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. And by the way, some of these corridos, they used to have, and I guess there now is a move to ban this stuff off the radio, but they used to have these corridos about narco traficantes.
Yeah, stuff. The narco corridos. Oh, yeah, that's really been the big movement in corridos for about the past, I'd say, 15 years. I mean, there's been corridos about drugs from the very beginning of the art form, going back to the 1900s. And nowadays, though, they really glorify it's a lot like gangster culture here, like, gangster rap. It glorifies the villains. It glorifies the anti-heroes and so forth. And in Mexico, they've been trying to ban that music. Here in the United States, though, that's really the stuff that sells. Then, of course, you have more wholesome music, like banda music. Just the only danger that does to you is to your eardrums.
Yeah, because you can't play it loud enough. And once you get into it, you can't buy enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to George in Denver, who's been hanging on. George, you're on AM 760. Go ahead.
Hi. I would like to ask your guest, Ask a Mexican, what kind of appreciation Mexicans have for their indigenous heritage?
It depends. Like, the Mexican government, officially, they glorify, the Aztec past, the people who have already died. But, of course, in Mexico, though, the Indians, the actual indigenous there, they're the lowest of the low. I mean, that's why you had that rebellion in Chiapas. That's why you have that unrest right now in Oaxaca. They suffer massive, massive discrimination. And so it's a conflicted view. So Mexicans, they love the past, but they don't want to accept the present. And least of all, they don't want to accept that a lot of them have Indian blood. Like, for instance, my mom, she very, very light skinned, but she says, we're pure European. You have Spanish and French blood and no Indian blood whatsoever. Give me a break. In Mexico, I think a huge percentage of the population is mestizo, probably more than two-thirds, and then the rest of them would be indigenous, and only about 5% would be pure-blooded Spanish.
Well, I think it's, at least in the early days, because when the Spanish squatters invaded the Americas, they mass murdered 23 million indigenous Americans.
And that's just in Mexico.
And that's just in Mexico. That's not accounting what happened in North America. And so it seems to me that, well, first of all, I'm Mexican-American, though I prefer to call myself Chicano.
Right on,
and
Chicano.
The name Chicano actually originated in the nation of Mexica, which came from Mexicano.
Yeah.
It's a word that, it's an Indian word.
Absolutely.
And so it's not just a transplanted American word.
No, let me just butt in really quickly. The etymology of Chicano, at least the way I hear it, was that you had these indigenous Mexican immigrants coming into the United States, and they ask them, you know, they tell them, "Well, what are you?" And they pronounce it, "Oh, soy Mexicano," because they still had that cha, and so eventually Mexicano became Chicano.
Right, and so actually we're all Chicanos.
Mm-hmm.
All of us descendants from the nation of Mexica, But I get the sense that the Mexicans don't seem to have a lot of appreciation for their indigenous background. And I think it's really essential that we do, because in the struggle for identity, in the struggle for unity, it seems like we have to have a common bond. And so much of that bond is indigenous, even whether you're from Cuba or Puerto Rico or Jamaica, for that matter, because of what happened in the Americas and how the Americas were infiltrated by the European invaders who, and I'm not trying to cast any criticism of anybody that's a descendant of Europeans, but what I'm saying is that they lied, they cheated, they stole, they brought their diseases, and they very underhandedly conquered this land. And not that I'm I don't want to get over it, because that happened 500 years ago. But yet, I think it's crucial to our identity to embrace what we really are.
Yeah.
But
you know what? How about the Anglos out there who are going to say, what about the idea of embracing the idea that you're an American?
Well, we've been embracing that all along, Jay, for the last 12,000 years at least. Maybe let's go back 22,000.
Well, when I'm talking about America, I'll change that. United States. How about a United States citizen? How about somebody from the U.S.?
Well, I'm afraid we've had to accept that reality, Jay. Just like my dad is a natural born citizen as myself. And just like my dad fought in World War II so that, for his kids to have an opportunity.
I mean, I think the problem with a lot of this is that what you end up doing is when you get into this stuff, it's like having an intramural squabble in a large venue, and
I'm just talking about identity. You're the one that wants to squabble.
No, let me just jump in right here.
I'm not squabbling.
Actually, Mexicans have been calling themselves Americans for generations, centuries, if not longer. There's actually a question in a book. A guy writes and says, "My family's been here in Texas for 10 generations. We came from the Canary Islands. We've been under God knows how many flags. I don't even speak Spanish anymore. I only speak English. My skin's dark. Yet why is it that when I walk down the street, people still think of me as a dirty Mexican?" So Mexicans can completely assimilate into this country. They could completely, be proud of being American, serve in World War II. In fact, the first person who died in the Iraq War from Orange County was Jose Angel Garibay, who was an illegal immigrant from Mexico. You could do all that, and there's still going to be a large segment of this of Americans are going to say, you're nothing more than a Mexican.
Yeah, and they need to get over that, because that's not what America's, that's not what the United States is all about. The United States is about people from all different places.
Exactly.
And we all have one common bond, and that is that we live here in this country. I mean, that's the common bond we have. And George, I'm not squabbling with you. I'm only asking you questions. If you feel like that's squabbling, then maybe what you need to do is you need to go to National Public Radio, where they just go like, "Okay, caller from Denver, you're on. What's your opinion?" See what I'm saying?
Well, I've heard that so many times, Jay. I've heard that argument so many times.
You know what? Hey, pal.
You can't even bring up an issue of identity without getting into an argument.
Hey, pal, you know something?
I don't care how many times you've heard the argument. The fact is, it's true. And you know what? If you don't want to be questioned and you want to call somewhere, you just want to make statements, you just know. No, listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. Well, you know what? Goodbye. I'm not going to put up with that, okay? Drain my oil pan with your lips. Thank you.
Whoa.
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous. I should be able to call up and say to the guy, why did you asking me questions and you're being a devil's advocate and we were squabbling? There's a word for that guy. It's Spanish. It starts with a P, and it rhymes with O, and you know what it is.
And it's in the glossary.
And it's in the glossary of this book, and that's exactly what he is. He's called here before.
Yeah, we can't say that on the air.
No, we cannot. Which reminds me, and I want to go to Craig in Billings, Montana next. Craig, hang on. I've heard this, and I want to know if this is true. And I've had Mexicans tell me this.
Okay.
And also people who speak Spanish. That the FCC, the feds, that they're all of this big obscenity kick, and some of the dirtiest radio being done are Mexican morning shows, but there are not Spanish-speaking people in the FCC.
Double English language radio, period.
CheaperUsedAutos.com. Time is money, so don't waste yours running all over town. Chances are they have what you're looking for. CheaperUsedAutos.com. Best used car prices anywhere.
Special agent, have you reached the safe?
Copy that. I'm at the safe now.
Can you crack the code?
They've left a clue. It says where auto insurance is as easy as quote, buy, print. That's no secret. It's Esurance. E-S-U-R-A-N-C-E. Opening safe now. E is for easy, online convenience. S is for save, with great discounts. U is for unbelievably fast quotes. R is for reliable. Esurance is there for you 24/7 every day of the year. A is for affordable rates. N is for nice, friendly service. C is for compare with Esurance prices to other companies. And E is for excellent financial strength.
Good work. Sounds like you cracked the code, Special Agent.
Well, everyone knows that E-S-U-R-A-N-C-E spells fast, easy auto insurance.
Quote, buy, print, instantly at Esurance. Get your quote from Esurance.com today.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter Retractable Awning.
Tell them about the discount, Harry.
Our Sunsetter Retractable Awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds and keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
Tell them about the discount, Harry.
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Tell them about the discount, Harry.
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Harry!
All right. But now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Good, Harry.
Call now and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer and save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-322-1437 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-322-1437. 1-800-322-1437.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. If you don't know the culture or the language, you could say whatever you want, and you won't even know the best of it. Nowadays, of course, just the more famous curse words, you'll know them. But there's a lot of curse words in Spanish. What can I say? Especially Mexican Spanish.
That's what makes it great. The more ways to cuss, the better. All right. Let me talk to you about Rockies. If you want to go someplace and buy a car and you don't want to cuss and you don't want to be aggravated, that's the place to go. The selection right there, number one, what's on the lot sells itself. They have the cleanest, largest selection of late model used cars, trucks, minivans, vans, and SUVs in Colorado. Unbelievable the amount of cars they've got and all the different types, too. And they've got good people to help you because buying a car is not only an economic, but it's also an emotional decision. And these folks are not going to pick your bones clean like in a lot of other places. And I'm talking about my friends... Tom and Marv Alshire, go see them, or Spanky Herrera, or Juan, or Adolf, or any of the folks working at Rockies. They will take care of you. You go there and tell them that you heard me, J. Marvin, who not only do I talk about Rockies, but I'm also a customer, that I was talking about them, and you'll get treated right. Ask about their matching down incentive. Also, you can go on the Internet and see them. The Internet's at RockiesAutos.com. They've been family-owned and operated since 1982. A number of ways to finance, and They're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., so they wrap their schedule around yours. Rocky's Autos, there's no better place to go buy a car. It's hassle-free. It's not complicated. And you got people who are your advocates. Yes, they're advocates for themselves, but they're also advocates for you, too, because they know that if you get treated right, you're going to send them more customers, and you're going to come back again. And that's how you stay in business for the long haul. Rocky's Autos, the corner of 63rd and Federal.
Your attention, please. This is a public auction notice. 200 lender foreclosed and repossessed homes across Colorado must be sold at an unprecedented two-day public auction event. Again, over 200 houses, condos, and multi-unit foreclosed properties have been ordered sold by major financial institutions. Attractive and simple financing is available. These are lender repossessions and must be sold. Visit ushomeauction.com for complete details or call 1-800-311-1160. 64 for your free catalog. All homes are located throughout Colorado and will be auctioned on August 4th and 5th. Buy homes at auction prices. Full details at ushomeauction.com. That's www.ushomeauction.com. You may also call 1-800-311-1164 or just Google home auction.
Auction conducted by Real Estate Disposition Corporation.
You've got the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk
and AM760.net.
We're talking in here about the Mexican radio and the radio on the border. My guest is Gustavo Arellano. Ask a Mexican is the name of the book. You'll be at the Tattered Cover tonight in Lodo, 7:30. You can meet him. You can discuss the book, and you can get him to sign your copy of what I think is a must-read book. And we were talking about, I was talking about Mexican radio. XRF. They always roll their R's, right? Just hit that button.
Yeah, okay, sorry. XR, sí, sí, Radio Fórmula, yeah. El Paso, Texas. There's a question in the book specifically about that. Like, why on earth do Mexican announcers have to extend everything like 5 minutos?
Yeah.
The answer's in the book.
Beer commercials. Muy con frío. Right?
Either that or they do it really fast. Cerveza buena y micheladas. It's an art. Again, even if you don't understand what the hell they're saying.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's wonderful. It's so entertaining. So entertaining.
XR Oca Radio Cajon. Or whatever the Spanish word is for cannon.
Cañón.
Cañón. Radio Cañón. They have this explosion, then they go into music. Damn, I was born the wrong color. Okay, and the wrong nationality. Let's get back to the calls to go to Craig in Billings, Montana, who's been hanging on. Craig, sorry about that. Go ahead, man. It's all yours.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
What's up?
Yeah, well, you know, I've had an opportunity to work with many illegal immigrants in northern Colorado, Wyoming, and Montana. And I got to tell you, they're absolutely the salt of the earth. I mean, the hardest working people I've ever worked with. And I don't know, legal or not, I just don't think it's fair to pay anyone less than minimum wage in the U.S. And my concern and question is, what's the overall attitude, or is there anything being done to start paying these people fair wages? I mean, at least a minimum wage.
There is obviously minimum wage laws, but of course, a lot of Mexicans, illegal immigrants, they'll undercut those laws just because they're looking for, you know, more money. Here's a sad reality, though. Even what we would consider slave wages here in this country, it's still usually twice, if not three or four times better than what's being paid in Mexico. So the immigrants themselves, of course, they'd like to get paid higher, but frankly, you know, given a choice between working in Mexico for really low wages or working here in the United States for lower than minimum wage, they're going to take what's here in the United States. And thankfully, though, there are organizations. I don't know any here in Colorado, just because I'm not from the region, but there's a lot of civic rights organizations for Latinos or, you know, illegal immigrants that do monitor that, to make sure that these immigrants are not being exploited wholesale, when, you know, just a little bit of exploitation, not too much.
Yeah, it just seems like many of the proponents of allowing them to keep coming in use the economic reason, you know. They're doing the jobs that Americans don't want to do for less pay.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Part of that, though, is a reality. Part of that's true. Like, there's an article today, I believe it's in the Rocky Mountain News, maybe in the Denver Post, I can't remember because I saw it, like, early this morning, about how they're using prisoners to work on agricultural farms And one of the things that it says in there is that it benefits the farms by having them do it, because now there's a lack of immigrant labor. And this is the thing that nobody here wants to confront. I mean, Americans do not, when I say Americans, I'm talking about people who are here and they qualify for things like making minimum wage or above because they're legal. They're not going to go and aid in a strawberry harvest. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, people always assume, when people say, oh yeah, Mexicans, they take the jobs Americans want to. That's not necessarily true. Americans, they've picked strawberries in the past. They've done that. But they're not going to pick strawberries for, $10,000 a year. No, they want $40,000
right.
a year minimum. And that said, they're probably not going to take something that's backbreaking, that's never ends, and it's just a brutal job. No, the people who are going to take those jobs are people who are coming from even worse conditions. That's just an economic reality of this country. There's always going to be a need for cheap labor, whether it's slavery, whether it's legal immigrants, whether it's illegal immigrants, whatever it may be. There's always going to be somebody who has to do it. And the only way that we could justify that, frankly, is institute socialism in this country, and I don't think that's going to happen.
No. Well, I just don't think that it's fair.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that.
I think everybody agrees that it isn't fair, and I think everybody needs to look at that. But we have a terrible habit in this country of not wanting to be realistic about things. We don't want to be realistic about what would happen to prices if you had, for instance, total unionization of those jobs. We're not realistic about gas prices. We're not realistic about a lot of things. And we resent when these prices go up. And so what we want to do is we want our cake and we want to eat it too. So we're going to kick all these people out of the country and make all these arguments about wages and about fair wages. But the first time half the people who call the other talk stations in this town and rant and rave about illegal immigration, the first time they roll up to King Soopers and have to pay an arm and a leg for vegetables or fruit or any, or you know what? How about putting roofs on houses?
Right.
Or construction, they're going to go berserk.
Sure.
They're going to go nuts. True about Emma, but who put roofs on? Who put,
yeah.
Now all of a sudden, you've got these guys in the media and politicians like Tom Tancredo.
Oh, that one guy, yeah.
Yeah, who are getting like... Well, he's Bob Bolso.
That's the nicest thing you could say about him.
Well, I could say some other things. But they're getting mileage out of this whole thing, stirring people up. But if we had to live in their vision of the world, people here would be... They would go insane.
Oh, yeah.
Because they'd say, well, wait a minute, I got four kids. I'm trying to make a mortgage payment. Look at the meatpacking story.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Meatpacking was...
Sales leads absolutely free. Call Sales Genie at 1-800-430-8122 and get 100 sales leads for free. Call 1-800-430-8122. 1-800-430-8122.
The following is not a radio commercial. It's a gift from the people of Iceland to you and your heart. You see, Iceland Health is giving away a free bottle of omega-3 fish oil to everyone that requests one, because they recognize the very real danger of high cholesterol, heart disease, and stroke. Millions of you have already discovered the powerful benefits of fish oil, but millions of you haven't. Iceland Health omega-3s offer more than just protection for your heart. They have powerful benefits for joints, memory, even your skin. And the omega-3s from Iceland Health offer twice the power of ordinary fish oil. Whether you've tried omega-3s before or this is your first time, call and request your free bottle of Iceland Health omega-3 soft gels. Call 1-800-479-8133. It's our gift to you. Find out how to get your free bottle of Iceland Health omega-3 fish oil by calling 1-800-479-8133. 1-800-479-8133.
Find out what your timeshare is worth and get your free information kit. You'll also get a $500 online shopping spree free when you buy, sell, or rent. Dial 1-800-700-0375. That's 1-800-700-0375.
Right now, Jay Marvin in your car. After the show, Jay Marvin on your computer. Listen to the whole show on AM760.net.
I can't even say KKZN in Spanish. What is KKZN? Kai? Ze?
Z-Z-N-E.
N-E. K-A-Z-N-E. Or
Radio K-A-Z-Z-N-E. Right? Or how do you say progressive would be progresso, right?
Progressivo.
Progressivo.
Yeah, progressivo. But usually if we're talking, you know, what you would say more would be izquierdista, you know, leftist. That would be more than progressive.
Right. Marcos descendant. 9:38, 38 minutes after 9. Here's an email. This is pretty interesting from am760.net. By the way, my guest is Gustavo Arellano. The book is Ask a Mexican. You can see him tonight at Lodo, the Lodo Tattered Cover. And we say hi to the folks at the Tattered Cover. What a great, they're just great. This is from Tom. This is Jay and Gustavo. Mexicans taking over the U.S. I was in Hermosillo, the capital of Sonora last year, shopping for supplies for my friend's hotel. First stop was the Home Depot, lunch next door at Applebee's, then Ace Hardware, and finally Costco.
The reverse Reconquista continues. You have a lot of gabachos going down in Baja California building these beautiful coastal houses. There was a colleague of mine at the OC Weekly. He no longer works there, but he used to live in Mazatlán in Sinaloa, and he did a profile about American expatriates who lived in Sinaloa, and they were proud that they didn't know Spanish. They were proud that they weren't assimilating into Mexican lives. They were totally proud of that. They were proud of building their own little America in Mexico. But we never criticize Americans for doing that. We never criticize Americans for not knowing the languages of other countries that they encounter. God bless America.
I just want to go to Cuernavaca and stay drunk. That's all I want to do.
You got to visit Zacatecas. That's the place to get drunk, because that's where you have all the banda just following you around. It's great.
I want to go live Malcolm Lowry's book, Under the Volcano. All right, let's go back to the phones, and here's James in Denver. James, you're on AM760. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, you're on.
Hi, my name is James. How you doing?
Hi, how are you, James? My name is Jay.
Hey,
this
Jay.
This is Gustavo.
Hey, James, Jaime Rivera.
Jaime.
Yes. I'd like to ask your guest, were you born in Mexico?
I was born in Anaheim, California, to two immigrants. And what's interesting about the way I was born was that I was born in Anaheim, but everyone who surrounded me, it was basically people from my mom's home village. So it was basically Mexico. Spanish was my first language. I only spoke until kindergarten.
So you were born an American.
Born an American,
of,
yep. Of Mexican descent.
Okay. And that's what some, I'm a student of history, and that's some of the problems that we're having is, realizing that being an American is a nationality.
Mm-hmm.
Being Mexican is a nationality.
Mm-hmm.
Being Canadian is a nationality. There's no such thing as a Mexican culture. Mexico is a country just like America is, and being a Mexican has different types of cultures, Indian, mestizo, and also
Going down through the states, yeah, or
right.
Not even going at, like, different. Like, my parents are from Zacatecas. Our culture, my Mexicanidad, if you will, it's going to be completely different from somebody from Jalisco.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right, and these kids nowadays in the school system are getting this bombardment of okay, you're a Mexican. Well, no, they're not. They were born here. For you know, my family came in 1598 with Juan de Oñate.
Whoa.
And the Spanish families, 250 families that came and colonized all of New Mexico through El Paso. So we are a true descendants of the original Spanish colonizers.
You're more Mexican than gabachos.
No,
you're more American. No. Sorry, you're more American than gabachos.
Well, Spain had Mexico for over 500 years, and then Mexico won its independence for only 32 years.
But you know what?
So we're more Hispanic than we are Mexican.
But what gets me about all of this is, so are you suggesting that? And I don't know, so I just want to ask. Are you suggesting that Mexicans? That there's no Mexican culture as a catch-all phrase for all of these different things. I mean, that'd be like saying that there's no Irish culture. That'd be like saying that there's no Jewish culture or there's no African American culture.
Okay, is there an American culture, Jay? Is there an American culture? No, we're different. We're Irish.
Yes,
we're English.
No.
We're Dutch.
Yes, there is an American culture.
And what are we?
No, there's a definite American culture. And if you go to Europe and you go to other countries and talk to them, 9 times out of 10,
they want to talk to you about American culture. Mm-hmm. They want to talk to you about things that are uniquely American, mm-hmm. that come from America.
Well, all of the Hispanic kids that are born here in America, and that's what I'm trying to say, is all the Hispanic kids that are born here in America, I would want them to be called Americans,
yeah.
not Mexicans. You know, I want them to be called Americans of what? Spanish descent, of mestizo descent, of Indian descent,
that's ridiculous.
That wouldn't work, first of all, because these kids, if their parents are Mexican, they're calling themselves Mexican. They have a Mexican culture. Even if the Spaniards were in Mexico.
They were born in America.
Let me finish. Let me finish, though. They were born in America, true. As I said earlier, though, there's one thing. There are Americans, but most people will still call themselves Mexican. But the parents themselves, they'll say you're Mexican. Just like Irish, you know, Irish immigrants or people of Irish heritage. I have a friend, you know, his parents came to, or his descendants came, or you know, ancestors came to America during the 1800s. He still calls himself Irish. It's understood that they're American, but you still have a cultural component.
They're assimilating with the American culture.
Yeah,
they're not walking around and saying, I'm Irish, if they were born
really?
In America.
Really? Excuse mm-hmm. me, but you know what? You should shop that logic, say, for instance, in Chicago in the Polish Triangle, and go into those stores and talk to people who live there and tell them they're not Polish and see what happens. They'll laugh at you.
Well,
they're Polish.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do realize.
What do you mean
you don't
know about that? It does. It goes on. You go talk to somebody who is a proud Italian American or is of Italian heritage. They'll tell you that they're an Italian American. They'll say I'm of Italian heritage or Jewish or whatever it is. I mean, what? You're supposed to say, I was born in, I don't understand. This is a total waste of energy.
So you go to Europe, Jay, and you say that you're an American? Of what culture?
If they ask me, I'll tell them what culture.
Okay, but you just don't make a generalization. You have to say that I'm an American of what?
No,
Irish descent.
I'm a Mexican of mestizo descent. No, but what we're doing is we're running a con game here on a whole segment of the populace, which this is the old thing about, oh, why can't they assimilate and stop with the culture business? Okay, fine. You know what? I think every Mexican in this country would probably entertain that idea as soon as we call off St. Patrick's Day, Columbus Day, and stop with the whole thing about everybody else can have their culture and Mexicans can't have theirs. See, you're not going to go to tell me, you're not going to tell my parents, okay, that there's no Jewish culture and that they're Jewish Americans. They're going to say to you that they're Americans, and then they're going to turn around and they're going to say, if you ask them further, they're going to say, well, we're Jewish. And there is a Jewish culture. There's a difference between Jews and Christians in a Jewish household.
But that is religion. Being Jewish is a religion,
no,
not
it's
a culture.
No, it's also a culture.
No, there are a lot
okay.
of people in Israel
you know
that are Christians.
You know what?
There are a lot of people
you know
in Israel that
you, you
are Muslim.
What? You know what? You're ignorant. I hate to say this, but
no,
you're ignorant.
No.
Do you know any Jews?
You're blindsided.
No,
That's what it is.
No, do you know any Jews?
Yes, I know quite a bit.
Okay, then ask them.
And I know a lot of Jews that are Christians.
Okay, well, what do you mean
Christians? That's not a culture. That's a religion.
What do you say? Do you know any Christian
Jews, Jay?
Yes, I do.
Okay, then that is a religion.
You know what? This is totally ridiculous.
Well,
Shalom.
I'm sorry that you don't understand.
Shalom. Shalom, scholar.
Is there no Catholic culture? Is there no difference
right,
between
exactly.
Irish Catholicism?
Well, you know what?
Italian Catholicism and so forth?
Yeah, but you know what this boils down to, don't you? You know what he's really trying to say?
Yeah.
Okay? What he's really trying to say is, don't celebrate the Day of the Dead. Don't celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Don't get into any of that stuff. Celebrate the 4th of July. Celebrate all this stuff. You know what? Surrender your heritage and prove to me that you're really an American.
He's ignoring the American experience. The fact is, sure, we are a melting pot, but at the same time, people who do
yes.
have those cultural ties, they keep them. St. Patrick's Day.
Right, exactly.
Christopher Columbus Day, or even the fact that, you know, all the what we call American food, what hot dogs came from Germans, pizza, of course, Italian.
Right.
That's just part of the American way. You know, kids might call themselves Mexican, but they know they're American. They live in this country. They assimilate. They partake of the culture. It's understood. But we don't. That's one of the weird things with, you know, those people say, oh, I'm proud to be American. They have to say again and again and again. Myself, I don't have to say I'm American. Not at all. I know I'm an American. I don't have to overstate the point. If anything, that shows a lack of, a fear almost that if I don't say it, somehow it's going to disappear.
It's this huge chest beating contest and this huge intramural squabble about. And all I can say to you, James, is we may disagree, and that's fine, but go to Zadie's and have a bowl of chicken soup. And then ask them, is that like, you know, is that old cultural tradition about got a bad cold, have chicken soup. Does that come from America, or does that come from, where does that come from? Christian America, Jewish America? Go in there and ask them what the word goyim means. All right, let's go to Joe in Westminster. Joe, you're on AM 760. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks. I'm just going to make this in the form of a statement, if that's okay.
Go for it.
I favor a crackdown on illegal immigration in the United States because I think allowing it to go on enables the larger, more long-term problem, which is the oppressiveness and exploitation that goes on in Mexico. That's why Bush and his guys like it, not only because it provides cheap labor for the big business here, but because it allows Mexico to avoid a leftist revolution, which, of course, Bush wouldn't want.
Right,
but
that's true.
Mexico desperately needs something like that.
You know, that's a good point, and I actually agree with it. But be careful what you wish for. And you actually, there's a question in the book where somebody basically says, I'm astounded at the lack of outrage that Mexicans show toward their government. When are they going to do a revolution? And if you look at history, in 1810, that was the start. No, was it 1812? 1810, that was the start of the War of Independence in Mexico from Spain. 1910 was the start of the Mexican Revolution. So 2010 will probably bring another revolution too. But, of course, with revolutions, last time with the Mexican Revolution, that's really when large-scale migration from Mexico happened to the United States. If you had this violent, bloody leftist revolution, there's going to be even more Mexicans coming from. And then probably by that point, you'll put the United States Army on the border, then the whole entire chaos would happen. It sucks, though. It's, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, and I would hope that, you know, ideally change in Mexico would occur peacefully.
I think it is happening. As I said earlier, with the immigrants from Mexico here in the United States sending billions of dollars back, a lot of them are going back to Mexico infused with these ideas of democracy and going there and trying to run for office. It's very telling, though, that the Mexican officials, the people in power, they're trying to ban them from running for office because they know what that means. That means it's going to be the downfall of them. So it's happening slowly but surely. I know, obviously, too slow for some people, but I'm confident it will happen eventually.
I think we should lean on them more, though.
Yeah.
To insist in democracy, to insist that all of these things be taken care of, because we're sitting next door to them and it directly affects us. So I think that your call, Joe, is a really good one, and I think it makes a really valid, good point.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for your time. All right, 9:50, 50 minutes after the hour, we'll continue with Gustavo Arellano. He and I are going to have a debate about who's more American and about culture. Okay, you're not going to get any matzo at my house, friend.
You can get tamales at mine, though.
Okay, let's go to Ricardo Mortigan with traffic.
Jay, the highway drive, still a little bit crowded, especially on that southbound stretch coming out from I-70 into the downtown area, but really not a big deal. Through the bridges looks pretty good right now, both sides of the highway, so trip between Tech Center and downtown, running 10, 15 minutes for you. Rest of the highways look good as well, 225, moving along across Aurora, both those stretches, I-25 to Parker and Parker up to I-70. No worries on I-70 on either side of the city, even across that elevated portion. 6th Avenue in good shape, as well as 470, and a pretty good drive to and from Boulder now on the Turnpike. Weather forecast, going to be partly sunny, warmer today, highs into the upper 80s, and some heavy thunderstorms are possible this afternoon. Partly cloudy tonight, low 59, and a little bit cooler tomorrow. A few showers still possible, a high of only 82. Right now it's 71 degrees. Rick Morgan, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Looks like a perfect day for s'mores. So why not pick up some great-tasting Hershey's chocolate bars from the Walmart barbecue?
CheaperUsedAutos.com. Best car prices anywhere. Thinking about a summer road trip but not sure if the family wagon can make it? Well, don't worry. Just visit CheaperUsedAutos.com. At CheaperUsedAutos.com, check out over 800 vehicles. Up close and personal. Cars, trucks, and SUVs, all right here in Denver. Many under $10,000. Including low-mileage program vehicles, all with special internet pricing. Time is money, so don't waste yours running all over town. Chances are, they have what you're looking for. It's easy. CheaperUsedAutos.com. Best car prices anywhere.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. This is Ed Schultz with Dr. Blanchette from Front Range Preventive Imaging to talk to you about technology that could help save the life of someone you love. Dr. Blanchette?
I can't agree more, Ed. As a physician, I know that preventing illness is the most valuable thing I can do.
Everyone over 50 should have a colonoscopy. However, 60% of us don't. As a result, colon cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death. Virtual colonoscopy is quick, requires no sedation, and allows immediate return to normal activities. In addition, virtual colonoscopy can detect some cancers outside of the colon, as well as other problems such as abdominal aneurysms, kidney stones, and gallstones. And the cost can be less than half the cost of conventional colonoscopy. If you've not had a colonoscopy, call Front Range Preventive Imaging at 303-443-SCAN. That's 303-443-SCAN. Or visit us at frontrangepreventiveimaging.com.
You know the drill. Just a pill to get through the flight, or maybe a glass of wine, maybe an antidepressant to help control your anxiety and depression, maybe a nerve pill here and there just to help you cope, maybe a drink at night just to take the edge off, and that second drink, well, who's counting? But nobody knows how much you worry, how stressed out you are, how inadequate you feel. Nobody understands the fear you have, the lack of satisfaction in your life, the loneliness. Well, I understand. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center. I suffered for over 20 years with anxiety, depression, panic, and stress. Maybe you don't have to depend on medication and alcohol. There's a better, long-lasting, healthy way to help yourself. Please, call right now and let me send you a powerful free tape that could change your life.
Call now and we'll send you this wonderful free tape. Call 800-446-3886. 1-800-446-3886. 1-800-446-3886.
Details visit easychoiceonline.com.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Randy Rhodes, today at 4.
Right now, Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
After the hour here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, Severe Thunderstorms, high today 86. Gustavo Arellano, the book is Ask a Mexican. See him tonight at the Tattered Cover in Lodo, 7:30 this evening. And we're about out of time here, but I'm going to repeat this on the air, what I just said to you off the air.
Go for it.
Okay, there are segments, I don't think they're large segments, but I think there are segments of the American populace that are racist towards Mexicans. They don't like Mexicans. They want all of these quote-unquote people to go home. But man, oh man, oh man, they're right there at the Mexican restaurant. Or they love the drive-in window at Taco Bell.
I once did an interview with Jim Gilchrist, founder of the Miniman Project, and on the record, he admitted that he has a Mexican son-in-law, he owns a Chihuahua, the Chihuahua's name is Tia in Spanish, and his favorite food were taquitos from El Torito, which is a chain out there in Southern California. So even the person who's supposed to be the head of the xenophobes, of the know-nothings of the modern age, even he's a Mexican in his own way.
Yeah, so how do you explain that?
Simple question or simple answer. Mexican food's good. How can you not like Mexican food? If you don't like Mexican food, you don't have any taste buds in you, or a soul for that matter.
But the schizophrenia about it.
That's the American way. There's, we celebrate immigrants, and then at the same time we hate them, and we always forget the past. It's not just schizophrenia. It's amnesia. I mean, there's so many. We want to talk about Mexican psychoses. There's a lot of American psychoses or pathologies as well, but we never like to talk about those. And then if you hit someone up, well, look, this is a history. This is a history of this nation. These are the trends that have always been a part of this country, and here they are today. They don't want to accept that. They say, oh, no, but it's different now because they're Mexicans. That's what it boils down to in the United States. When all else fails, blame the minorities, but specifically, blame the Mexicans and the Native Americans, too, once in a while.
Well, this whole thing about, and I get these calls about, but they're here illegally. They're breaking the law. Yeah, but there are people in really high places in this country that are breaking the law. Doesn't bother you?
No, it doesn't bother them at all. Not only that, though, again, when there were legal immigrants in this country, they were hated, if not more so. It doesn't matter if they're legal or illegal. The fact is, they're Mexican. That's why they're hated, not because they're illegal. Usually when I talk to people, when I have conversations and we talk about why do you hate that, it usually boils down to a cultural argument. They do this, this, and that. It's not so much about illegal that they broke the law. No, they say, oh, they're not learning the language, they're not assimilating, they want to do Reconquista, all these different things. Bottom down, they hate Mexicans.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. By the way, a listener called in and wanted to know, is there a good national, so we could hear it here, is there a good national Mexican talk program that we could try to listen to try to find out more?
Probably the best window into the Mexican soul, besides the column, of course, would be El Piolín. And he's more, obviously he has a lot of music. Does he come out here in Denver, El Piolín?
Yes, he's on the air here.
Okay, yeah, I would say just listen to El Piolín because you have a lot of comedy. You also have a lot of serious talk, especially now with the immigration issue. And you also have a lot of great music. So I would say just, first listen to Jay, but, I think El Piolín gets off the air.
Yeah, he's on the peak. All right, we're out of time.